to live just sitting fun.
You're listening to Morning Sedition, presented by AirAmericaPlace.com. If you enjoy these downloads, please consider making a small donation. Even a $1 monthly donation will go a long way to keep our web service free from advertising. Click Donate on the Air America Place homepage to find out how.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
All right, okay, we're here, we're back. We're back from vacation. If you just weren't with us yesterday, good morning. Philosopher kings and queens, geniuses, victims, haters, all people underneath the great umbrella of America. There's Mark Riley. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Man, good morning, bloggers. And yes, Gina, we got the box of candy.
Yes, it's Gina.
Coming. We're waiting for it right now. Larson has gone upstairs to get us the candy.
That's right.
Like, I didn't even get my M&Ms this morning because I'm waiting for Gina's candy, and then we forgot it when we came down because we've got a million things to do here. We got big things going on. We are going to deconstruct and contextualize Kerry's speech to the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, 1971, that the Swift Boat for Truth guys took out of context and demonized him with. We are going to put it in context. We've got very beautiful, lengthy chunks of this speech that Kerry gave, which is a very eloquent, noble bit of business. I listened to this thing last night, Mark, and I just sat there, and I'm all reinvigorated about Kerry, like, because he came to this thing with a humility and an earnestness and a sensitivity that was just mind-blowing.
What John Kerry did back in 1971 was articulate a different kind of patriotism than the patriotism most Americans were used to dealing with at the time. And even 30-some-odd years later, have an awful lot of people still have trouble dealing with a decorated war hero who comes back and says, you know what? We have to start looking at doing this differently. We have to start looking at resolving our differences differently, and we have to start thinking about the kind of things that happen to people, both soldiers and the people that we're fighting for and against.
Yeah, when
we go to a different country and start and get involved in warfare.
Exactly. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, what he was doing was he was speaking on behalf of the soldiers that fought like him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was speaking on behalf of a group of veterans that were coming back from a war that was becoming a war of arrogance, a war that was, you know, progressively, you know, unwinnable. And I started to think that when I was listening to these Swift Boat for Truth guys, a lot of these guys think that this is their second opportunity to win the Vietnam War. A lot of these guys think that there is no difference, that you cannot be critical of duty. That, you know, like if you're there to do something, you don't question the commander-in-chief, you don't question the mode of operations, you do what you got to do and you own it. And this was a guy, John Kerry, who comes back and says, you know, we did some stuff that was questionable because we were entitled to do it, because there was chaos over there, because the administration kept us in that war longer than was necessary, the goals weren't being met, and now that, you know, the goals weren't met, out of shame, out of cultural shame, we can't come back to this country with any pride, because the country at large looks at us as this dark, shameful secret. And Kerry was coming out on some level in that.
He was coming out on that. And see, what Bush has managed to do, and we touched on this a little bit yesterday, he has managed to reopen wounds that I think a lot of folks felt had been closed 30 years ago. And a lot of that, to me, is because George Bush never fought in Vietnam. He was busy in Texas or Alabama or wherever the hell he was.
Well, have you heard the new ad?
No!
If you want to know about George W. Bush's service to his country, just talk to the men who served with him.
Bush? Yeah, twitchy fella. Kept getting nosebleeds and talking all night.
He's the father of my three children. Possibly.
I served with Bush. We were abducted by aliens and spent 4 long days being violated by steel probes. I'll never go back to Mexico.
I served with Bush. I mean, I was in the guard at the same time he was. He had a locker. Maybe he was on the late shift.
Had a hook for a hand?
Sure. Bush was an abortion doctor. Everyone knows that.
This ad is sponsored by the Texas Air National Guard Veterans Worship.
Well, finally, you know, finally some people are coming out on the other side. You know,
yeah, right.
Bush, you know, that he was AWOL. And, you know, we've got some sound that'll prove that in a little while. But what I want to talk about is when I listen to Kerry, I mean, it's a weird thing. Like yesterday, I got one or two emails. There are people that somehow believe that this network functions as some sort of family, which is fine. You can believe that. There's other people that believe that, you know, we are some arm of the Democratic Party and that we are not entitled to publicly be critical of John Kerry. And to you guys, I think that, you know, you are falling victim of the same sort of politics and the same sort of mindset that Republicans have. You know, as progressives, as people who are liberals, even as, you know, Democrats, we have to engage in some sort of criticism of all things. We have to, you know, be open-minded and maintain open-mindedness. And if you expect us to toe some party line and only, you know, chatter quietly amongst ourselves if we ever find a reason to be critical of Kerry, you know, to hell with you. I don't need that.
We're
you know,
not, Mark, I don't think we were being overly critical. What we said was, that he was slow to respond to a problem that his people should have seen. There's no, you know, it's not the end of the world. He hasn't lost the election. We're not beating the guy up. We're just pointing out the fact that a story that should have been swatted down in 24 hours has lasted 2.5 weeks. And that's a fact. That's not, you know.
That's true. You're absolutely right. And I didn't mean to say the hell with you. That's something that my father would
the
say.
The heck with you.
Yeah, no, not even that. I don't want to. I'm not trying to alienate people with this particular thing, but I think there's a misconception of you know, what we do here sometimes, and that, you know, we are here being paid by the Democratic Party. You know, we're talking about John Kerry. It took us a while to, not unlike a lot of people, you know, we were hoping that Kerry would step up a little more, that he would turn on the juice, and then the convention came, and we were all electrified by so much that happened there. And he showed up, and he changed his tone, and everybody, you know, now there's a momentum building. So I don't think there's any shame or anything wrong with saying, you know, we think that, you know, maybe he should have responded to this quickly, and now we're going to respond to it. And because John Kerry is not ashamed of his record in any way, you know, either his anti-war record or his war record, that, you know, we are going to, you know, engage in giving this speech he gave in 1971 a second hearing. You know, it's a
because
first hearing.
Yeah, it is a first hearing to an entire generation of people. Remember, the people in 1971... You're talking now about the year 2000. These people born in 1971 are in their 30s now.
Yeah.
So a lot of people had no clue or have no clue exactly what all this discussion is about.
I never heard it.
And it's got there's some very, very deep-seated historical stuff that's going on here. Vietnam, because I lived through I didn't go into service, but I lived through the Vietnam era.
Yeah.
And there was a tremendous amount of guilt, anger, et cetera, soldiers who came back and admitted that there were atrocities committed there. Because the history of warfare, as far as America is concerned, is that those things never got back to the public.
Yeah.
They happened during World War I, during World War II, during Korea. They happened in all of these wars. The Civil War was ugly as sin.
Right. Really ugly. That was the bloodiest war ever.
Ever. But the bottom line was, you didn't bring that kind of stuff back for people to consume publicly. Vietnam changed that. And a lot of soldiers that went over there were pilloried when they got home. And
right.
it was an ugly thing, and it was a thing that probably should not have happened. A lot of people who served honorably in Vietnam were tarred and tainted by this whole baby killer thing. And that's part of what people are responding to when they hear that John Kerry got up in front of Senate Foreign Relations Committee and said that there were crimes committed in Vietnam.
And everybody knows that. History has proven John Kerry correct on this, and history has shown that these things actually happened. And I don't think John Kerry was indicting the soldiers that he was, you know, in the war with. I think that he is saying is that the administration, out of their neglect, provided a situation over there that was chaotic. It had no real rules. The rules had to be reinvented all the time. And given that type of freedom, if you call it, or that type of pressure, that, you know, these guys, you know, behaved in a sort of primal, sort of, you know, inhumane manner.
Yeah, and there is always that risk when
because
take young men and women and put them in this kind of situation. There's a line that can be drawn between some of the excesses of Vietnam and Abu Ghraib in Iraq. And see, what the overall part of this, and John Kerry speaks to this in his speech, by the way, the overall message that has to be gleaned from all this is that you got to rethink warfare. Yes. You've got to rethink solving problems by shooting missiles at each other.
And the fact that this is coming, that this type of politics is coming from an administration of guys who were defectors and dodgers and also...
Slackers!
Yeah, and also an administration that has very little respect for veterans, really. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there was talk yesterday that...
Oh, we're going to get into that.
That Bush was going to go to the Olympics to watch the Iraqi soccer team, that this is a president that will not go to the funeral of a member of the armed forces who was killed in Iraq. You know, this is... It's a tremendous hypocrisy, and it's almost criminal.
It is almost criminal. But before we go to break, let's go back to 1971.
Okay.
Let's go to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and let's hear exactly what John Kerry did have to say about service in Vietnam.
Several months ago in Detroit, we had an investigation at which over 150 honorably discharged and many very highly decorated veterans testified to war crimes committed in Southeast Asia. Not isolated incidents, but crimes committed on a day-to-day basis with the full awareness of officers at all levels of command. It's impossible to describe to you exactly what did happen in Detroit, the emotions in the room, the feelings of the men who were reliving their experiences in Vietnam. But they did. They relived the absolute horror of what this country, in a sense, made them do. They told the stories of times that they had personally raped, cut off ears, cut off heads, taped wires from portable telephones to human genitals and turned up the power, cut off limbs, blown up bodies, randomly shot at civilians, razed villages in a fashion reminiscent of Genghis Khan, shot cattle and dogs for fun, poisoned food stocks, and generally ravaged the countryside of South Vietnam, in addition to the normal ravage of war and the normal and very particular ravaging which is done by the applied bombing power of this country. We called this investigation the Winter Soldier Investigation. The term Winter Soldier is a play on words of Thomas Paine's in 1776 when he spoke of the sunshine patriot and summertime soldiers who deserted at Valley Forge because the going was rough. And we who've come here to Washington have come here because we feel we have to be winter soldiers now. We could come back to this country and we could be quiet. We could hold our silence. We could not tell what went on in Vietnam. But we feel because of what threatens this country, the fact that the crimes threaten it, not reds and not redcoats, but the crimes which we're committing are what threaten it. And we have to speak out.
That was 27-year-old John Kerry, back from Vietnam, testifying before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
It was very deep. I mean, it moves me. And, you know, later in this show, we're going to talk to Jim Wasser, John Kerry's second in command on PCF 44, the swift boat at the center of the scrutiny. And he'll talk about, you know, what he remembers from those days. And we got a great show today, so stay with us on Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, muscular skeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
New York City, September 4th at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union, an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead. Bipartisan smartass Will Durst. Comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at MotherJones.com.
It's time to face the facts. You need a bigger paycheck. And the best way to do it is by getting your college degree from DeVry Institute of Technology. At DeVry, we make it easy. You can take classes at our location right here in New York City during the week or take advantage of our accelerated weekend program. Whatever works best for your schedule. So you can get a degree for a better tomorrow without having to change your life today. And the best part? A degree from DeVry can take your career just about anywhere. That's because employers, decision makers, they've heard of DeVry, and they like the idea of an institution that's been offering career-focused higher education for more than 70 years. Get a higher-paying job with a proven degree from DeVry Institute of Technology here in New York City. Call toll-free right now to see how easy it can be. Call 1-800-98-DeVry. Pick up the phone before you forget. That's 1-800-98-DeVry. 1-800-98-DEVRY.
Tune in tonight to Hangouts, where you'll meet a pop star with a pool for a living room.
Sorry to interrupt, but why check out other people's dream homes when you can use a home equity loan to create your own? Now at LendingTree.com, you can find home equity rates as low as 3.75% APR. But they won't stay that way forever. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Or visit LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details on licensing.
It's a scorching hot day. Imagine being trapped in a parked car. The temperature inside is rising. Now imagine that you're wearing a fur coat. Leaving your dog in a hot car is not only uncomfortable, it's dangerous. If it's too hot for you, it's far worse for him because, unlike us, he can't perspire to cool down. And within minutes, the temperature, even with the windows down a little, can exceed 100 degrees. So on warm days, please be kind. Leave your dog safely at home.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
Past the hour, morning edition, Air America Radio. Man, Gina, thank you so much. We just got the candy out. We got mojo-sized bag of M&M's,
man.
And Riley's on it. Oh, hey, got a mouthful of them.
And we're, double fudge Hershey Kisses.
Oh, it's beautiful. What coming out of that clip that we just played of John Kerry speaking to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, I guess, or is it a commission, a committee?
No, committee.
Yeah, committee in 1971. This is an action that John Kerry owns and should, and it really opened a window in my mind about what this guy has been really trying to do. Because also what we find out about John Kerry is that he began the investigations in the Iran-Contra. He has also began some of the revelations about the BCCI bank through his investigation into the drug trade that also implicated the Bush family. The Iran-Contra implicated the Bush family. In 1971, Nixon wanted this guy out because of the Senate subcommittee thing, that because of his activities with the Veterans Against the War, right? Mm-hmm. So now this is a guy who's been on the radar of the Republicans for a long time, and they still don't have anything on him, which means to me that what Kerry has tried to do in his career as a politician is bring a true sense of dignity, nobility, and democratic process back to the culture of America, politically and the national culture. And I think that, you know, his, you know, dignity in responding to, and maybe not responding as strongly as you or I would have, Mark,
mm-hmm.
and my desire to want him to do that, I think is real. And I think that, you know, thank God we have a voice, a podium to do that, and maybe that's not his style. But I hope that other Democrats and other progressives are taking up some of the slack, because it's not that I fluctuate, but sometimes it's hard to know where his charisma lies, and where it lies is in his pace, in his integrity, in his lack of willingness to play petty politics. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a real statesman, and sometimes it's easy to forget that when you get caught up in the pace of the modern media.
When you listen to John Kerry in 1971, the first thing you realize is that he was speaking for a lot of both Vietnam vets and people back home who were against the war.
Mm-hmm.
He was speaking some very, very uncomfortable truths.
Yeah.
Okay? This was not, John Kerry did not make up the whole thing about these atrocities.
Mm-hmm.
They had a hearing, and a group of Vietnam vets got together, and they talked about this stuff. John Kerry was there. He was relating information that was given to him from other Vietnam veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And that ability to speak to those uncomfortable truths has been a hallmark of his entire political life. Now, people are made uncomfortable sometimes when you speak about these things. John Kerry didn't say every soldier that went to Vietnam ended up doing these sorts of things. That's not what he said. But he did say they existed, which they did. history has proven him right, as you point out,
mm-hmm.
and that you have to create an environment where they cannot take place. And I think that John Kerry's conclusion from his Vietnam experience was that you really cannot guarantee in warfare that these kind of atrocities would not take place.
And also he was speaking to the administration to not abandon the veterans
yes.
of Vietnam. And we have another clip here. And just for just to challenge yourself, why don't you try to replace the word communism with terrorism just in your head when you listen to this clip of John Kerry, 1971.
But I want to relate to you the feeling which many of the men who've returned to this country express. Because we are probably angriest about all that we were told about Vietnam and about the mystical war against communism. We found that not only was it a civil war, an effort by a people who had for years been seeking their liberation from any colonial influence whatsoever, but also we found that the Vietnamese whom we had enthusiastically molded after our own image were hard put to take up the fight against the threat we were supposedly saving them from. We found that most people didn't even know the difference between communism and democracy. They only wanted to work in rice paddies without helicopters strafing them and bombs with napalm burning their villages and tearing their country apart. They wanted everything to do with the war, particularly with this foreign presence of the United States of America, to leave them alone in peace. And they practiced the art of survival by siding with whichever military force was present at a particular time, be it Viet Cong, North Vietnamese, or American. We found also that all too often American men were dying in those rice paddies for want of support from their allies. We saw firsthand how monies from American taxes was used for a corrupt dictatorial regime. We saw that many people in this country had a one-sided idea of who was kept free by our flag, as blacks provided the highest percentage of casualties. We saw Vietnam ravaged equally by American bombs, as well as by search and destroy missions, as well as by Viet Cong terrorism. And yet we listened while this country tried to blame all of the havoc on the Viet Cong.
John Kerry testifying before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in April 1971.
It's mind-blowing. You know, it's like the same thing that those guys use as ammunition to hate John Kerry makes me so impassioned about the guy. We've also got some pretty good proof that George Bush was photographed in the Air National Guard with medals that he did not earn. And we're going to talk some about that. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. And But I'm just so glad we're playing this stuff, Mark, because to put it into context and to hear a guy that's got some real nads, real ones, not bully juice nads, but real nads is very exciting to me. And I hope it's empowering some of you people out there to really assess Kerry for who he is.
And we're going to talk later on this morning about why the media has kept this story alive as long as it has. Coming up, the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda. And from Salon.com, Michelle Goldberg talks about protests at the upcoming Republican convention when we continue here on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. At least five people are dead after separate bomb attacks aimed at two Iraqi government officials. Officials escaped injuries in two attacks in the capital of Baghdad this morning. Both the environmental and education ministers were the targets. Despite being kidnapped and threatened with execution, independent American journalist Micah Garin says he's in no rush to return to the United States. After his recent release, Garin is working on a documentary about the looting of antiquities in Iraq. President Bush is feeling the heat from the ranks of labor and the Democratic presidential campaign of John Kerry for the new changes in the overtime rules. Protesters yesterday took to the streets surrounding the Labor Department in Washington, D.C. And a senior Sudanese official has rejected an immediate wider role for the African Union troops in Darfur region. The official adds security there was the responsibility of Sudanese forces. African Nations Agriculture Minister at the same time dismissed the proposal. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
There's a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we're a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists, is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It does not use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It is a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you're tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's Theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to join our totally unique service.
I think today, in particular, women have a tremendous amount that they're carrying around, men and women.
Wendy Light for the Doctor's Night Guard Dental Protector.
I own a flower shop. I have a lot on my plate. I grind my teeth very, very, very badly. I clench, I grind. The Doctor's Night Guard took care of that. You know, we have the weight of the world on our shoulders. We don't need the weight of the world in our mouths.
Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard in the oral care section.
Randy Rose.
Wherever Kerry goes, Bush is going to go. You know what this reminds me of? Because I was a pimply little girl, and I got beat up a lot. And wherever I would go, the girls that wanted to beat me up, they would go too. Just to intimidate you. The Bush administration is doing that to Kerry. And you know what happens when you stand up to a bully? They all of a sudden freak out. They've lost control over you. And that's why I want him to stand up so bad. Al Gore did the same thing. We don't have to dignify it with an answer. Yes, you do.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Beautiful. Yes, Morning's Edition, Mark Maron, Mark Riley over there.
Hey!
Air America Radio, the happy family of shows.
Happy Democratic family of shows.
It's like, hold on a minute. I'm worried that one of these lights from Al Franken's Sundance Channel TV show is going to fall on my head. Be sure to watch that. It's called Dead Air. It's on the Sundance Channel. I'm kidding. Now, see, that makes
people mad. No, you're not.
That makes people mad, too. It's like, hey, quit knocking Frank, and we're just, you know what, you guys should all be supporting each other. All right, well, let me reach out to our listeners in Key West. Oh, they don't get our show down there? What, they only get Frank and Randy Rhodes? Oh, okay. Hey, maybe I'll reach out to San Diego. We're on at 3 in the morning there?
Quality time. Quality time.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to alienate some of we had some guy
call. We had a call from San Diego
Smart
yesterday.
Smart call. Good guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sour graping it. You know what I mean? I'm not.
Can't you listeners feel the love for all the other people?
No, I'm just trying to ire the people. That it's just so funny how, I'll discuss it later. Right now, Ramon just got this in, and apparently he's out on the lawn of the White House. So here's the presidential palm pilot for today. Here's the president's schedule for this morning. 9 o'clock a.m., wake up in Crawford. Stay on message. I'm against soft money attack ads. I tied up Kerry for a week. I still got it. 11 a.m., prepare for convention. Work on the compassion thing. Hell, I'm on vacation. I can get compassionate next week. 12 noon, put on chaps. Feeling cowboy frisky. Beg Laura to wear a sexy cowgirl outfit. See if I can get her to wipe that creepy robot smile off her face. 1 p.m. All right, that didn't work. Call Swift Boat Veterans. say, get on down here, fellas. I'm forming a posse. We're going to ride out to the Piggly Wiggly and track down some pork chops.
3 p.m. Not doing nothing.
Well, maybe I should...
Nah. 8 p.m. Not doing nothing some more. I'm the master. 9 p.m. Watch Olympics. How do we lose to Romania? What is a Romania? 11 p.m. Bedtime. Think happy thoughts. Headline. Quote, Bush's vacation called boldest, most decisive downtime ever. End quote.
There you go. Wow, he's got a fun-filled day ahead of him, huh?
Yeah, he's down there in his short sleeve shirt and sitting there trying to say things. All right, our guest, as you all know, thousands of people are gearing up for the arrival of the Republican National Convention that starts Sunday, and protesters will be hitting the streets. And Michelle Goldberg, a writer for SenateLawn.com, is on the phone to talk a little bit about, you know, what that implies, what the protesters could mean to the Democrats, to the Republicans, and all that. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure. So, I know there's a lot of word on the street that some people are reaching out to protesters. Progressives are saying, hey, don't be too crazy, you know, be disciplined, don't go at all. What is going to happen, do you think?
Well, basically, there's going to be I don't think people are saying don't go at all as much as if you see people that go on a rampage and start breaking windows and acting stupid, try to restrain them because they're just playing into George Bush's hands.
So you're saying if you're going to protest, behave yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the thing is that obviously most people will, but there is hundreds and, you know, maybe as many as 1,000 people, and I've been spending a lot of time talking to them, who are kind of, you know, have rejected the whole two-party system and who say that, you know, they don't care. They're not worried about what some voter in some swing state thinks of them, and they need to express their rage. And so they're kind of not very, they're just not very persuadable by arguments about this is going to help George Bush.
Do you think that I remember protests, you know, I went to college, I was 19 once, you know, we didn't have dreadlocks then, but but do you think that those people on some level are being selfish and just having their time as young protest people so they can sort of write it in their diary of life?
I think that they definitely see protest itself as kind of being all about self-realization.
Uh-huh.
I mean, one thing that they always say is that, you know, what we need to do is we need to create the world that we want to live in right here in the streets. And so it's much more about we want to kind of have things the way we want them for an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I think it's much, it's kind of disdain's, you know, strategy.
They're not being political.
Well, they, you know, they kind of say that they reject politics, I guess, on, you know, on ideological grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, to them, when you say what is the goal of these protests, as opposed to, you know, raising kind of consciousness against George Bush or, you know, or kind of signaling, you know, anger at Mayor Bloomberg for inviting them here, it's usually we want to build the movement. So it's all very kind of self-contained.
Michelle Goldberg, the New York City Police Department held a demonstration last Thursday of various techniques that they've developed to counter some of these protests, and they seem to be saying that they are going to be mindful of who is, a peaceful protester, who's involved in civil disobedience, who may be involved in some acts of anarchy or violence against property or whatever. Do you get a sense that the protesters understand that, and do the protesters also understand that they are going to be facing a massive show of police power here?
Well, yeah, they definitely understand that they're going to be facing a massive show of force. And what's ironic is that in a lot of ways, it's the kind of police crackdown that has made a lot of these kids more militant. You know, in many cases, they've tried to protest in the traditional way, especially recently in Miami at the Free Trade Area of the Americas protests. And they've been met with such kind of overwhelming, almost military force and response that they've decided, you know, that the system doesn't work and that they need to try new tactics. And so you have right now, you have this really kind of scary situation where the police are talking as if they're an army.
Yeah.
And the protesters are talking as if they're guerrillas.
Well, isn't it? See, I go back and forth on this. You know, this whole idea of, I'd actually never entertained the thought or read the history that said that the protesters, you know, lost it, you know, that created a win for Nixon in the late 50s. Now, I'm kind of two camps. Like, I think there's something really that is castrating or neutering to a protest when they have to be in corrals and limited and moved to the side, and that sort of it kind of undermines the whole idea of civil, you know, disobedience.
Oh, that's absolutely.
Or dissent. And I think that, you know, this whole armed, this the impression that you're giving me is that the police have put this message out there that, you know, we're going to come down hard, and these protesters are like, well, bring it on, because, you know, we want to have that experience. How, I guess what I'm asking is, what have you heard? What do you know? How crazy are they talking as far as the protests go? What are they talking about?
Well, you know, I should say that they're not talking about violence. What they are talking about is property destruction, which they don't consider violence.
To corporate entities as a anti-globalization statement, or to actually addressing the fact that they don't want Bush in office? Or there seems to be many different faces to this protest movement of this day.
Yeah, the anarchist rhetoric is directed overwhelmingly against capitalism, you know, when they see kind of George Bush as just the kind of most egregious symbol of this corporate order that they hate.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not that I actually think that their actions in and of themselves will be particularly dangerous. You know, I don't really think anybody's going to shed that many tears, you know, if someone at a Starbucks.
Right.
But I think given the kind of tensions on both sides and given the police response, it's almost inevitable that property destruction is going to lead to a kind of overwhelming police response, which is then, it seems like it could trigger something among the protesters because the whole situation is so volatile.
Michelle Goldberg, quick two-part question. A, United for Peace and Justice, the group that wanted to rally 250,000 people, have been denied Central Park. What happens when they get a couple of blocks north of the convention site on 7th Avenue? Where do they go? What do you think is going to happen? And the other question is whether George Bush will Velcro any problems with protests directly to John Kerry.
Well, first of all, as of this point, and this is part of the reason why this whole kind of situation is such a recipe for chaos, as of today, you know, just a few days before the protest, people still don't know where it's going to end up. The city has denied the use of the park on kind of pretty specious grounds, on the grounds that it'll hurt the grass. And right today, United for Peace and Justice is going to court to sue for use of the park. If they don't get use of the park, it's pretty inevitable that at least some people are going to go there anyway and kind of have a standoff with the police. And other people are just going to disperse throughout the city, which is, I think, from the police's perspective, a much more difficult situation to control than if you just had everybody coming together in an orderly way in the park.
Well, thanks, Michelle. We got to get going. And I really appreciate you being here. And I guess we'll see what happens, you know, as far as, you know, the Republicans using this to, you know, against Kerry.
We appreciate it, Michelle.
Thanks a lot.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
That was Michelle Goldberg from Salon.com. We didn't get to the second part of that question, but we could speculate after the break. So stay with us on Air America Radio.
I fell in love with Patrick before I even met him because of his heart.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Everywhere I go in this great country, singles are asking me if there's really such a thing as a soulmate.
She took my breath away. Pictures do not do her justice, and I already knew her heart.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
When I hear stories from couples who fell in love on eHarmony, I want to encourage anyone wondering if they have a soulmate to log on to eHarmony.com.
I am more in love with this woman than I ever thought I could love anyone.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we've helped thousands of singles find their soulmate, and we want to help you too. Take our personality profile, a $40 value, and we'll give it to you free.
We just have so much to look forward to.
My name is Patrick, and I met my wife, Cheryl, on eHarmony.com.
My name is Cheryl. I met my husband, Patrick, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now. The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order the CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss The Revolution.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
You can listen and order it today at www.airamericaradio.com. Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records, The Revolution Starts Now.
Revolution starts now.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
When allergies come with sinus pain, my Claritin just doesn't have it.
My Benadryl doesn't have it either.
Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies. Stop allergies that hurt.
Yes. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning Sedition. I think we need to hear this ad.
If you want to know about George W. Bush's service to his country, just talk to the men who served with him.
Bush? Yeah, twitchy fella. Kept getting nosebleeds and talking all night.
He's the father of my three children. Possibly.
I served with Bush. We were abducted by aliens and spent four long days being violated by steel probes. I'll never go back to Mexico.
I served with Bush. I mean, I was in the guard at the same time he was. He had a locker. Maybe he was on the late shift.
Had a hook for a hand?
Sure. Bush was an abortion doctor. Everyone knows that.
This ad is sponsored by the Texas Air National Guard Veterans for Truth.
You know, what Michelle Goldberg was talking about in what we were talking about yesterday with Michael
Wolf
is that, you know, whether or not could they be this demonic in their planning that they are trying to, you know, the Swift Vote ad comes out now portraying, you know, Kerry as sort of this liberal, hippie-ish, anti-war veteran.
Elitist. Don't forget elitist.
Elitist. And also now we have the protests are sort of baiting, I think. There's this weird, like, what is it? I'm a conspiracy-minded guy. Are the protesters actually being baited to misbehave in order for the media to sort of align them with this whole Kerry hippie Democrats or liberal freaks looking them out of control in New York thing? Are they trying to set it up for a big, you know, package of, like, you know, this is what the Democrats look like kind of thing?
Well, let's look at what serves the media's interests best during this election cycle. What serves the media's interests best is a close, nasty political battle.
Yeah.
How does it serve their interests best? Look at the political money that gets poured into the media in the form of political advertising. Now, a little history here.
Follow the money with Mark Ryan.
That's right. Political advertising used to be the bane of most media, right? Because of the law, the way the law is structured, you can only charge a certain amount, which is usually below what you normally get for advertising to air a political ad.
Right.
What's happened over time is that as media has stretched out to try and reach more revenue sources, political ads, because of their volume and their frequency, are taking a bigger and bigger chunk of media's inventory. Now, some media people say, well, you know, that's not such a great thing because we can't make as much off politicals as we can make off of regular ads. Well, when the regular ad market is in a downturn, as it has been since September 11th of 2001, quiet as a step, that means that that political money takes on an added significance.
Right.
All right.
So you're saying that the media really wants to engage this soft money advertising that Bush, in his, like, non-existent, no contrition, statement yesterday said, I think all these ads should be out.
They're what are called 527s. 527s are ads that are unlimited, by the way. That are can be put out by interest or advocacy groups. MoveOn.org, technically, is a 527, and that's who Bush is talking about. The difference, though, is that, first of all, the media makes the money from these ads. They're not putting them out by smoke signal. They're putting them on television, on radio, and in print.
Ads have become dignified. The media has become very shameless. It's very much all about advertising to the point where, you know, everyone looks forward to the Super Bowl ads.
Yeah, but see, there's another dimension to that. There's also the content dimension.
Uh-huh.
You have all of these news channels, the MSNBCs, the CNBCs, the CNNs. They got all of this talk time to fill. We here at Air America have all this talk time to fill. How do you best fill the talk time? With controversial issues, controversial subjects. When Kerry starts getting too far ahead in one direction, how does the media stir the controversy? By spotlighting something like the Swift boat ads, which, you know, and Michael Tomasky does a very, very great piece in the American Prospect that says that the media should be taken to task for even focusing on the Swift boat ads by themselves anyway, because if you look at the military records of the people involved in the Bush, at the top levels of the Bush administration, you don't find much.
Right. The media is being cowardly into doing the bidding of a bunch of cowards.
Yes.
Of a bunch of lying cowards, which we'll get into later. And also, you know, one veteran who wants to tell the truth, which is Kerry. And we're going to dedicate our media airtime to putting his 1971 statement to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee into context. We also, later in the show, are going to talk to Jim Wasser, John Kerry's second in command. We've got Tom Hartman, who's going to talk about how frightened and bullying and devious the Bush administration is. We've got a great show coming up, but after this, we're going to talk about how George Bush wore phony medals when he was in the Air National Guard. So keep listening on Air America.
The presidential election is just around the corner. The right has their propaganda. Make sure you have yours. Northern Sun can help. For over 25 years, we've been supplying the American left with t-shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and a whole lot more. Do you think we need a president selected fairly? Tell your fellow Americans with a bumper sticker. Redefeat Bush in 2004. Do you think we need a smarter president? Say it with a t-shirt. Somewhere in Texas, there's a village missing an idiot. Do you think we need an honest president? Tell him with a bike sticker. Bush lied, thousands died. With hundreds of bumper stickers, buttons, and American-made t-shirts, Northern Sun can help you wear your thoughts on your sleeve, car, or bicycle. Visit northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog. And if your group has a unique message, we can custom print it on shirts, buttons, or bumper stickers. Remember, regime change begins at home, so let's vote Bush out. Call 800-258-8579 or visit northernsun.com. Thank you, and God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
I know firsthand what it's like to be a kid when your dad dies with no life insurance. So when I started my own family, I knew how important it was. So I called AccuQuote at 800-900-5818. They found me life insurance from a top-rated company, and they saved me a fortune.
This is Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. Since 1986, we've helped tens of thousands of people save a fortune on their life insurance. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $20 a month. A 50-year-old, less than $50 a month. 20 and 30-year plans are also available. And ask us about the new term life policies that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. So if you're thinking about life insurance or want to know if you're paying too much, write down this number and call 800-900-5818 and start saving money right now. Or visit us at AccuQuote.com. That's 800-900-5818. 800-900-5818. Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Attention smokers, find out how to get 2 free cartons of your preferred brand of cigarettes. That's right, the makers of Smoke Free and 3 are so confident you will finally quit smoking that they'll buy your next 2 cartons for you if you don't quit. Never again will you have smoke-filled clothes, bad breath, or jeopardize the health of your loved ones. Just listen to these ex-smokers.
I've been smoking a carton of cigarettes per week as long as I can remember. The very first day I started the Smoke Free and 3 system, I quit.
This is Shelly, and my cravings have decreased. I'm calmer, less irritable, and I've been smoke-free for a month now.
This system really surprised me on how effectively and quickly it worked.
Smoke Free and 3 is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of Smoke Free and 3 at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days, guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next 2 cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
Thank you.
Maybe it's all about shame. That's what Bush is all about, shame. Maybe he's got deep, dark secrets. Obviously, he does. We've been doing some poking around. I got an email. I'm Mark Maron, by the way. Nice to meet you. That's Mark Riley.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, we're on Morning Sedition. This is Air America Radio. Here's an email. Good morning, Mark and Mark. From Barcelona, as a two-tour combat-decorated Vietnam vet, I want to point out a few things about the Prez. One, Bush has shown his valor when it comes to the Vietnam conflict. He ducked his patriot duty and took refuge in the ranks of the Texas Air National Guard. Two, he was AWOL for over 30 days, which, according to the UCMJ, becomes desertion. Three, today, as he did in the past, is hiding behind the negative ads of the swift boats for whatever those guys to do his dirty work. That's my paraphrasing. Like his dad, he covered all his drug and alcohol encounters, which I believe continues today with these frequent stints at Crawford. This is an email. Getting admitted into the guard above a four-year waiting list and failed to perform his duty and report for duty as required, and that's because it's suspected he was messed up on the yayo. Recent photo of GB, which we found last night, this is what I wanted to get to, is that if you go to our website, morningsedition.com, and go to Pashman's Picks, that will lead you to democraticunderground.com, where they have a piece. A guy did some research, and it turns out that George Bush, in a photograph, is wearing an Air Force Outstanding Unit Award, okay, and a Small Arms Expert Marksmanship ribbon. And then he goes on to do more research that shows, you know, that he continued to wear this Air Force Outstanding Unit Award after he was given lieutenant's bars, it seems, is what I'm seeing here. And then he went to the records, and it turns out that in all the military records that Bush himself released and the White House released, he did not win the Air Force Outstanding Unit Award. It is not listed. It is not something he was awarded. So he is wearing an award that he decided, I guess, looked good on his uniform, made him look better. I think this looks better. I'll just put this one on here. So he put that on there. So he's a complete fraud, you know, on this level where, you know, what, he didn't think this would snap back at him? It's like, I don't care. I mean, I think it looks good. But it's just that, what a liar. I mean, he's criticizing a real Vietnam vet, you know, for anything. And this guy is wearing fake medals because it looks good. I mean, I understand. He used to be a cheerleader, and it is about, you know, looking good. And
do cheerleaders get medals?
No, but he had a big Y on his sweater.
Oh, okay,
so he's like, I used to have a big Y on my sweater. Now, well, I just put this one on. You know, I mean, it's like you should really go check out this website because it's compelling, and it really shows something about Bush's personality. What a desperate, showboating little man he was, you know, and that, you know, he didn't, you know, he avoided service. And all right, blah, blah, blah. Listen to me go. I can't wait to talk to Tom Hartman.
Me too.
That Cheney speaks to the reptile brain is the name of his article on progressivetrail.org. That's next hour. Here's the liberal agenda for today. Write them down. One, criticize Olympic champions. Point out that all that time training could have been spent winning at life, man. Two, establish Kabbalah crisis tent outside Madison Square Garden to counteract bad vibes. Three, liberal dirty trick. Give Republican delegates tickets to Tony and Tina's wedding. On the night of the show, have cast change it to Tony and Tommy's wedding. That'll get them. Four, throw mixer for abstract expressionists against Bush. Explain to journalists that their all-black protest signs represent war, despair, and reduced funding for the arts, man. Five, phrase of the day. Tell airport security, quote, the most powerful weapon of all is love, end quote.
Mm.
How's it going to unfold, Riley? How's it going to unfold?
Well, it's going to unfold. Listen, we want to let people know about liberaloasis.com. That's one word, where the left is right and the right is wrong. They got some interesting stuff up about us. The Morning Sedition Swift Boat ad. But coming up in the next hour of Morning Sedition, the presidential palm pilot,
Thomas Hartman.
And more.
Are you sure a big conservative man like you is comfortable having a liberal woman like me ask him out?
I'm fine. Just because I'm conservative doesn't mean I don't know how to act around a broad.
A broad?
The Republicans are coming to town, and we want you to have lunch with them. From August 30th to September 2nd, Time Out New York and Air America are sponsoring Take a Republican to Lunch Week.
Let's try to find a wait person. Do you see a wait person? This restaurant is always short on wait people.
Oh, come on. It's waitress or waiter, for God's sake.
People always bring God into it.
Visit Air America Radio. PoliticalRadio.com to find restaurants offering a 10% discount for all political antagonists. Then read up on the issues, make a reservation, enjoy your lunch, and phone Air America Radio to say how it went.
Would you like the soup or the salad?
Well, I...
Yeah, she'll have the soup.
You Republicans are always taking away our right to choose.
Remember, if their mouth is full, there's no room for their foot. So log on to AirAmericaRadio.com and join us for Take a Republican to Lunch Week. Make the fat cats even fatter.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush is calling for a halt on all attack ads, including those ads against his main opponent in the presidential contest. Bush spoke to reporters outside his compound in Texas yesterday, saying the so-called 527 ads are wrong. It's not the first time Bush made the statement, but it appears to be the first time he wants his message to resonate with the American people. The Democrats charge too much, too little, too late, since the attacks by the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth have already had a devastating impact on the Kerry campaign. Swift voters are stirring the pot again today with the release of new television ads in spite of President Bush's appeal to stop the attacks. The organization seemed to gather old film footage of a John Kerry appearance before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee back in 1971. The ad describes Kerry as a sellout. If the film Fahrenheit 9/11 by Michael Moore attempted to connect the dots on the nation's preparedness on terrorist attacks, there's a book out now by a nuclear weapons expert who charges the Bush administration as sleeping on the prospects of possible Armageddon in one or more American cities by terrorists with access to nuclear weaponry. Harvard researcher Graham Allison is out with a book entitled Nuclear Terrorism, The Ultimate Preventable Catastrophe. Allison charges that the Bush White House is reckless when it comes to protecting the nation over the prospects of nuclear attacks. At least five people are dead after separate bomb attacks today aimed at two Iraqi officials. Two officials weren't hurt in the attacks in Baghdad. Police say four people died in southern Baghdad neighborhood when a car exploded near the convoy of the environment minister. About the same time, a roadside bomb exploded near the education minister's convoy in the western part of the Iraqi capital. One person was killed in that attack. American forces are still engaged in what appears to be a relentless battle to win control of the revered Imam Ali Shrine in Najaf. Militiamen loyal to radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr put up a strong fight to maintain control. U.S. military officials say their forces have been careful not to damage the shrine, but the likelihood of it being completely unscathed seems to be declining with each day. Late Monday, U.S. warplanes bombed the area of the old city, and shrapnel from the attack hit the shrine's golden dome. Several hundred union members marched outside the Labor Department to protest new overtime pay regulations taking effect yesterday, with two senators pledging to try to roll them back when Congress returns from recess. Protesters, many wearing union T-shirts, carried signs such as, President Bush, hands off my overtime pay, and chanted, come on, you all billionaires, give us wages that are fair. The fight is not over yet, said Republican Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania. An opponent of the changes who is facing a tough re-election bid in November, Congress reconvenes September 7th, but critics of the rules acknowledge a repeal as a long shot. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now. The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. You can listen and order it today at www.airamericaradio.com. Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records, The Revolution Starts Now. Revolution Starts.
now.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Ritz Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person, and so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
Oh, all right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner.
That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with the Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
All right. Everybody knows that safety belts save lives. Blah, blah, blah. We've been hearing that for years. I'm just letting you know that your safety belt can save you a whole lot of hassle, too. Because from coast to coast, cops are cracking down. They've got this enforcement effort. Click it or ticket. Pretty simple. You buckle up or you get a ticket. Consider this a friendly warning, because guess what? Cops won't be giving warnings. Remember, click it or ticket.
The question is not whether New York is ready for the Republican National Convention. It's whether the Republican National Convention is ready for us.
First of all, this isn't their town.
George Bush insists we are safe.
I love to hear Republicans whine.
Our president is an idiot.
It is not anti-American to criticize America.
This is what Republicans do. They're destroyers.
Air America Radio is venturing deep into the heart of the beast, and you'll hear it live all day, every day. Air America's coverage of the Republican National Convention, from the podium to the protests. It all starts Monday on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good morning, geniuses. Philosopher kings and queens, what's happening?
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and the people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
I'm sorry, I don't want to sound like an elitist. Good morning, all you working people as well. Good morning, all you people who are listening to us for the wrong reasons. Good morning to all you victims of all sorts that only see the good in everything because you're sad. And
that's good. I liked it.
Yeah, and good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
And wait, here's another ad.
If you want to know about George W. Bush's service to his country, just talk to the men who served with him.
Bush? Yeah, twitchy fella. Kept getting nosebleeds and talking all night.
He's the father of my three children. Possibly.
I served with Bush. We were abducted by aliens and spent four long days being violated by steel probes. I'll never go back to Mexico.
I served with Bush. I mean, I was in the guard at the same time he was. He had a locker. Maybe he was on the late shift.
And a hook for a hand?
Sure. Bush was an abortion doctor. Everyone knows that.
This ad is sponsored by the Texas Air National Guard Veterans Worship.
And if you want to, you know, go to our website, morningsedition.com. You can go to Pashman's links. That's Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, who provided us with a wonderful post-show buffet yesterday.
Oh, man, it was great.
Thank you, Lewis and Linda. We enjoyed it. It was classic. It was the standard sort of, you know, bagels, lox, white
cream
fish salad,
cheese,
that dark rye bread, the pumpernickel bread.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
We still got some upstairs. You know, Dan Pashman was feverishly, you know, stashing white fish salad yesterday. Like, it was unbelievable. He's like, oh, my God. It's going to go bad. What would Bruce Springsteen think? And then he started putting it in the styrofoam cups. And we all had a good time. As some of you know, Brendan, one of our producers here, is engaged.
And, yeah, yeah.
And he got a Canadian diamond, by the way. Did not get any of those bloody, pain-filled South African diamonds. You know, got it from the Canadians.
From the Canadians. Who got it from the South Africans?
And, of course, John Larson, as you all know, is John Larson. Smarty Pants Larson, as we call him here, quietly running the world from the booth. Chris Lopresto, our board op, on vacation in Vegas. We're all worried. We're
Viva!
Hoping he,
Las Vegas.
We hope he calls soon. We got Tim in here. He's looking more comfortable today.
Yeah.
You know, he's actually seems relaxed. He's sitting down. He's got his handle on things. But wait till the first Dillette crisis.
That's
wait
right.
till the technology breaks down. Then we're going to see what Tim is made out of. Now, Riley, I just, you know, we've been putting the 1971 John Kerry statement speech to the Foreign Relations, the committee in 19...
Senate Foreign Relations, sure.
When he was with the Veterans Against the War, we've been putting that into context because the swift boat to veterans for BS have taken it out of context. And we're talking about, it's a beautiful speech. As I said today, I listened to it last night for the first time. I am 40 years old. I was not aware of this. I would not have heard it in context as far as being alive during that time. I remember Vietnam, but I was six.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just with fear at watching the television and seeing body counts and seeing the war constantly covered. It was, you know, I remember being frightened. I remember also when my family flew from Alaska to New Jersey once, we were on a plane with actual, you know, body caskets with boxes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
wow.
were coming back from Vietnam. My dad was in the service at the time for 2 years in the Air Force, and we used to take these cargo flights back to New Jersey to visit my grandparents. So, you know, it's important that we're putting it into context. And what I was saying last night when I listened to it, it made me believe in this man even more. The nobility, the dignity, the humility, and the pure nads of him, you know, speaking out and on behalf of the veterans who he thought were being abandoned and he thought were becoming out of control because of the lack of concern for their methods and also that by the administration, also that the war was being lost and when they were being kept there out of arrogance and they were, you know, coming back into this country feeling, you know, shame and feeling distance and not being able to talk about, you know, what they had been through. And, you know, it's very, can I say, nadsy?
It's nadsy. And I have to say, the performance of our president through all of this, the performance of our president by, on the one hand, looking the other way while a group of charlatans do a series of ads attacking John Kerry, while he himself was... in a netherworld somewhere between Texas and Alabama. Do they border each other? No, they don't border.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Go to Passion's Picks and check out the DemocraticUnderground.com, and you can see that somebody's done some investigating. And not only was he in a netherworld, and not only do we have that Lawrence Korb bit. We talked to Lawrence Korb from the Center for American Progress, is that
yes.
what it's called? And we interviewed him a while back about, you know, because he went over Bush's record. He crunched the numbers. Now, here's what he had to say when we
Based
talked to him.
Based on your review of the National Guard records, was Bush AWOL?
Well, as I pointed out, unless he had permission from his commanding officer not to show up, there were 5 months where he did not go to any of what we call the weekend drills.
Uh-huh.
And under the again existing arrangements, unless you have permissions, if you miss what we call a weekend drill, which you know you're 1 weekend a month, you have a month to make it up. And he did not make it up. It is not in May, June, July, August, and September of 72, he doesn't do anything.
Well, let me ask you something. If it is true, if it turns out that, you know, as it seems that it is, that he was AWOL, what are the repercussions of that?
Well, again, it should have been then. I mean, if you don't show up, the punishment, if you will, is to go on active duty. And then, of course, if you're AWOL under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, unless you have permission, your commanding officer can, you know, give you non-judicial punishment
All
or
right.
whatever.
All right, so he's going to have to suit up and go to Iraq. There's no. That's Thanks for talking to us, Lawrence Korb.
We appreciate it, Lawrence Korb.
Take care. That was a conversation we had with Lawrence Korb
a few weeks back.
Yeah.
And see, it's interesting to me from a political, purely from a political standpoint, how this guy, who has no military record to run on, is able to make a war hero defensive about his record. Now, George W. Bush has finally responded to the first Swift Boat ad, okay?
Okay.
The one that said Kerry inflated
his
war record.
But did he really respond to the content of the ad?
That's where the political guile comes into all this.
Uh-huh.
Because he didn't respond to content. What he said was, well, you know, I've always had a problem with these 527s. And see, it's interesting, he used the word 527.
Mm-hmm.
Most Americans have no clue what he's talking about when he says 527s. 527s are unregulated, soft money by interest or advocacy groups. MoveOn.org, Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, whoever. These are ads that are not regulated. And in many instances, for example, Kerry condemned a MoveOn.org ad.
Right.
That, in theory, was you know, to his benefit. But George W. Bush would not condemn the ad himself. He waited till the ad ran, stopped running, and then this is what he said.
This kind of unregulated soft money is wrong for the process. And I asked the Senator Kerry to join me in getting rid of all that kind of soft money, not only on TV, but used for other purposes as well.
See, he's a smug bastard because he knew that the damage had been done, and he wouldn't even pull back from, you know, the content of the ad. He knew that the seeds that he wanted to be planted were planted. Now he's sort of tough loving Kerry. What I heard in the subtext of what George Bush, President George Bush, was saying was like, you see what we can do? You want to play games? We'll play games. So, mm-hmm. You know, you want to play games? Well, why don't you pull back, and then we'll maybe pull back because we're going to win this one.
Yeah, and he's really being very crafty. By letting the ad run, letting the ad sink in, the poll numbers come out, and then he says, oh, gee, this is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing. Karl Rove knows exactly what he's doing.
Absolutely.
This is all totally political on this president's part, and we ought to see those Swift Boat Veterans ads in that same context. I don't care how much distance he tries to put between himself and these people. The ties are there for anybody that wants to see him. We've got them on our website, morningsedition.com.
The ties were there with Nixon. I mean, the ties have been in the Republican Party for 30 years. The ties have always been there. And this is from an AWOL president and a vice president who was a sort of chronic draft deferrer to the point where, you know, it's even possible he might have knocked up his wife in order to avoid going into the services. Please call us if you're a vet, especially, who's got something to say about this issue. 866-303-2270. I'm reaching out to anybody, but we really enjoy talking to vets, you know, about what they think of this president. So 866-303-2270. We'll be back with more right after this on Air America Radio.
Yeah, we got that good.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now. The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
You can listen and order it today at www.airamericaradio.com. Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records, The Revolution Starts Now.
Revolution starts now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. Let me introduce you to Heidi. She's just one of over 500,000 people who have literally changed their financial life with my simple, powerful debt elimination system.
I'm a single mom. I thought every dime I had was accounted for. I did not think something like this would ever work for me.
Heidi is talking about the Transforming Debt into Wealth program.
As a single parent, I couldn't believe that I could have my 21-year mortgage paid off in 7 years. It's true. The program works because it uses a simple, decade-proven formula using the money that I already make.
Not only does Heidi continue to use the program, she's now one of our program specialists.
And if I can do it in just a short amount of time, so can anyone. John's made it as easy as possible to understand.
Call now, and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven debt elimination system. Call 1-800-500-6122. 1-800-500-6122. That's 1-800-500-6122.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
And allergies come with sinus pain. My Claritin just doesn't have it.
My Benadryl doesn't have it either.
Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies that hurt.
Mark Maron here. Hold the presses. Apparently, we got to double check some information about those military medals. I mean, we see the research, we see the websites, we've sent you there. Some of you have sent it to us, and now we actually want to double check our facts in terms of, you know, whether or not, you know, his unit was awarded that, whether or not, you know, it's out there on the internet. You know, we're not reporting it as news, but we would like it to be, you know, a credible thing for you guys to pass on. So we're doing some double check back research on that.
Unlike some of our colleagues in talk radio, we do enjoy being accurate here on Morning Sedition.
Exactly. And you know what? My therapist is on vacation. I went on vacation. Now he's on vacation. I'm about to blow up with dreams. Here's last night's. I'm in a boiler room, somewhere deep under the Pentagon. I'm seated at a round table with a bunch of tight-ass white guys wearing black suits, skinny black ties, and deep black sockets for eyes. Overhead is one naked light bulb. The leader stands up and says, "The meeting of the Bush Dirty Tricks Task Force will now come to order. Secretary, please delete the words Bush Dirty Tricks and Task Force from the minutes." First, congratulations on the Swift Boat ads. Simultaneously vicious and cowardly, misleading but plausible. Having number one wait for number 2 weeks, having number one wait for 2 weeks before sort of not quite denouncing them was quite the masterstroke. We waylaid any destruction of number one's unwinnable war and truly abysmal record for at least a week while Kerry untangled himself from your web of lies. At the risk of sounding sentimental, you guys are a bunch of ruthless bastards without a shred of human decency, and I'm not just saying that. But the race is still close, so no celebrating till the last black voter is expunged from the voting rolls. Now, new business. Agent Maron, status report on Project Kerry's daughter's coke binge. They all turn and stare at me with their hollow sockets. I got nothing. I'm sweating right through my black suit. Kerry daughter's dirty pants, poop, and the hollow men are about to pluck out my eyes when out of the shadows comes Richard Nixon. I've never been so happy to see Nixon in my life. I say, I didn't know you were working for Bush. Nixon puts his icy hand on my shoulders and says, You think I care about the spoiled preppy a-hole? I do this because I love it. Me and my men are artists. Our medium is dirt. This year could be our masterpiece. I say, but sir, don't you care about our democracy? He began to fade like a gray mist back into the boiler. Nixon said, "They're all suckers, Mark. Gullible and stupid and lost. Screw them. Screw them all. Especially the Jews." His laugh echoed through the boiler room, and then there was a deep silence. I put my hands up to my face, and my eyes were gone. I woke up, and my bed was filled with soot. Creepy. What is that all about?
That's a deep one.
Okay, we got callers on hold. We got this Kerry bite that I want to play. We got more of the speech that he gave in 1971 before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. This was a speech that came from his heart. It was a speech that came from a reaction to the treatment of the vets by the administration, to a reaction to the futility of the war at that point. And you know, this was a courageous man doing this. And now this is where we're going to put into context the quote that the Swift Boat guys took out of context. Let's hear it.
"Each day to facilitate the process by which the United States washes her hands of Vietnam, someone has to give up his life. So that the United States doesn't have to admit something that the entire world already knows. So that we can't say that we've made a mistake. Someone has to die so that President Nixon won't be, and these are his words, the first president to lose a war. And we are asking Americans to think about that. Because how do you ask a man to be the last man to die in Vietnam? How do you ask a man to be the last man to die for a mistake? But we're trying to do that. And we're doing it with thousands of rationalizations. And if you read carefully the president's last speech to the people of this country, you can see that he says and says clearly, but the issue, gentlemen, the issue is communism. And the question is whether or not we will leave that country to the communists or whether or not we will try to give it a hope to be a free people. But the point is they're not a free people now under us. They're not a free people. And we cannot fight communism all over the world. And I think we should have learned that lesson by now.
It's interesting how little things have changed with the power dynamics and the politics of war in this country. Let's talk to Bob, a Vietnam vet in Las Vegas. Bob, how are you?
Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Mark. And Mark, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
What's on your mind?
Well, the reason I'm calling you, I was a captain of the Army Rangers. I had a lot of friends in the CIA, and they used to visit with us to train us on tactics.
Yeah.
We had tactical nuclear weapons in the theater. We were so frustrated. We almost used them.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, be careful with the language, okay?
Yeah, okay. What I'm trying to say here is that John Kerry's biggest problem is that he is a decent, honest human being who understood what was happening, tried to relay that to the American public. And, of course, the pariah, and this goes way back. We're talking about Nixon and everybody else that decided that discredibility was more important than the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, what I'm saying is that I don't know Bill Calley particularly, but as an example, this man was put up to roast to basically serve the purpose of cleansing the hands of those who would not know or want the United States to know the truth about what we did in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, William Calley, for people in our audience who don't know who he was, he was the man who was tried. He was a lieutenant, and he was tried on charges connected to the My Lai massacre.
Yeah. So, Bob, in terms of John Kerry, I mean, this is a guy that has a lot of courage, that told the truth about Vietnam, that stands up for veterans, and is now being sort of, you know, completely slandered by a bunch of chicken hawks and political, the same machine that Nixon was part of.
Well, I think that's right. And what I'm trying to say, I'm trying to appeal to people who fought in Vietnam, people who lost their limbs, people who lost their lives, and in some cases, their sanity. I really think that what we need to do is understand that we were involved in something that we should never have been involved in. And as we got there, it became worse.
Yeah.
As we began to try to change the course of events, try to win an unwinnable war, we became part of the problem. And that's embarrassing. It is. It's embarrassing for me. It's embarrassing for anyone who has the gonads to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the truth, and we need to address the truth.
Thank you so much, Bob. Thank you.
It,
take
Bob.
Care of yourself. That's a very haunting call. You know.
Well, you know, he puts it in context too, Mark, because in the late 60s, Richard Nixon was elected in 1968 in part by saying he had a plan to end the Vietnam War. The people were sick of the Vietnam War before Richard Nixon became president.
But
and he won the presidency in 1969. Now, 2 years later, the country was still embroiled in Vietnam, and he was developing the very rationalizations that John Kerry was speaking to in 1971 for keeping America there.
Yeah, and to hear the heart of that guy, to hear the heart of Bob, and what you're dealing with here is that the guys who have, you know, the moral bankruptcy to be part of the Swift Boats for Truth guys are guys that refuse to admit. They have enforced denial. It's a denial that is enforced by the government of the United States to honor duty and to honor whatever the agenda of the commander-in-chief is, no matter how, you know, wrong or morally bankrupt it is, which Vietnam has proven to be and, you know, is very clear to most people. And these guys are choosing to continue to honor that than to be honest and confront the horror and shame and truth that our caller was confronting, and the horror and shame and truth that John Kerry was confronting in 1971. I mean, this is deep, deep stuff, and it is stuff that has haunted, you know, Republican warmongers and you know, completely unbridled capitalists since the late 60s.
Well, yeah, and they want to make sure, as you pointed out yesterday, that the country never has to go back or is never able to go back to that kind of public discourse again. They don't want the country to stop thinking about war, to stop fighting wars.
I'm so
That's
glad we still talk about it.
Coming up, author and journalist Tom Hartman, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, The Liberal Confessional, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Turn your car into a stealth fighter, invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Bush administration has more problems on his hands with respect to security forces in Iraq. Late reports say there's been an 80% plus desertion rate in the Iraqi security forces ordered to prepare for an offensive against the Mahdi army in Najaf. The report concludes that the security forces are not deemed reliable. Marine Reserve Sergeant Gary Pittman has the dubious distinction of being the first U.S. soldier to face court-martial for the death of an Iraqi prisoner. Pittman is now working as a security guard at a federal lockup in Brooklyn, New York. Pittman's trial is now underway at California's Camp Pendleton. He's charged with snuffing out the life of a hooded and cuffed Iraqi prisoner with a deadly karate kick to the chest. And swift boaters are out with yet another anti-Kerry attack ad this morning in three battleground states accusing Kerry of being a sellout. Yesterday, the president called for an end to all the attack ads virtually 3 weeks after the first one aired in some 12 states. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
There's a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we're a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists, is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It does not use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It is a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you're tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's Theradate.com. For unlimited time, it's free to join our totally unique service.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. If you love your lungs, then purify the air in your home with the same technology used in our U.S. submarine fleet, the same advanced technology that's in my Orrick tabletop air purifier. I call my air machine a lung saver. You'll call it a miracle. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and breathe easier with the best air purifier you can buy.
Hi, this is Al Franken. Tuesday on the Al Franken Show. In an uncertain world, gold has been a safe harbor of security for millennia. Should you invest in gold for your own security and that of your loved ones? Some experts think you should. Join me and my guests Dahlia Lithwick from the New York Times, Bob Summerby from the Daily Howler, and Joseph Minton, the visionary genius behind Sweet Jesus, I Hate BillO'Reilly.com. That's Tuesday on the Al Franken Show.
That's it. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Air America Radio. Morning's edition. Satire for Sanity. The big show is with Barry Crimmins and Randy Credico and some political satire is going to be running all next week, Monday through Thursday at 8 p.m.
And they're going to have a big premiere, Air America Radio special, Satire for Sanity, 10 p.m. Saturday on August 28th. And that's, where is that? It's Sullivan's, Rocky Sullivan.
Oh, Rocky Sullivan.
Yeah, here in New York. Crimmins just came in and dumped this piece of paper on me, scribbled something on it, and there's no location. He's got a lot of things on his mind.
You edge of comedians.
Yeah. All right, since the handover of power, how come I always do that? Every day, since the handover of, it's the over of thing. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 56. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Who's up for an offensive against the insurgents in Najaf? That's it? Anyone? Come on, just one. That's it? All right, look, I read the story. Turns out you guys are looking at an 80% desertion rate in the Army. Look, that's pretty high. You clearly haven't made the military a sexy, hot career option for your young people. You got to start selling the military to them as a fun job. It's not all about spilling the blood of the infidel. It's not. Tell the kids the Army is like a gym with guns. Right. You get in shape, you travel to exotic lands, you learn how to operate sophisticated weapons, and you get to scare the living crap out of people. It's sexy, it's hot, it rocks. Plus, our most powerful weapon? Advertising. You can talk kids into anything if it's sold to them the right way. Be all you can be. An army of one. You ever see Top Gun? Make kids think the military is like starring in their own video game with sex and violence. No one gets hurt, everybody looks good, and you never run out of bullets. Yes, I get it. Yeah, yeah. Our soldiers have a great time. I mean, look at Abu Ghraib. Sorry, bad example. You're right. But if you're going to have wars, and you got to have soldiers, and you can't get soldiers without advertising. So have some fun with this. Everything is so damn serious here. It's not just a job, it's an adventure. Doesn't that sound better than go kill your cousin for American oil interests? Sure it does. Until then, look, good luck and God bless. This is Day 56 in Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Man, I just kind of jangled and jumbled that one. Crimmins came in, he's throwing papers at me.
He shook you up, didn't he?
No, I like talking to him. We're thinking about going to San Francisco to do a gig. Very funny guy.
Oh, wow.
He was there when I started, back in the beginnings in Boston. He used to host a show on Wednesday nights I used to go to. It was hilarious.
Oh, wow.
Here we go. Our guest is the author of We the People, A Call to Take Back America, and What Would Jefferson Do? He's a radio host in Vermont. He recently published an article on commondreams.org called Cheney Speaks to the Reptile Brain, which is worth reading. I just read it. It's very interesting stuff, and now we're going to talk to the author of that. Please welcome Tom Hartman to the show. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Mark and Mark.
Yes, how you doing?
It's us.
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. I love that piece you did. I really love that piece. It was solid research and speculation and great stuff. Can you explain the three brains of the human mind to our listeners so we can, set the groundwork for the advertising thing?
Yeah, real quickly, we all share a part of our brain, the brain stem. It's a small part at the bottom of the brain called the reptile brain. We share that with reptiles, with alligators, with snakes. That part of the brain doesn't feel emotions, complex emotions like love and shame, but it does intensely control things like fear, survival, and reproduction, and which is why an alligator doesn't get all warm and fuzzy when you pet it, but it'll take your arm off if it's hungry.
Right.
Then above that, there's a second brain evolutionarily that came along about 100 million years later that we share with mammals, with cats and dogs, and that's called the limbic brain or the mammalian brain, and that part of the brain is where we experience emotions. Neither one of these brains are verbal. They're both nonverbal.
Yeah, don't tell me.
And then above that is the cortex and the neocortex, the thinking brain, and ours is probably the fanciest of all the various ones that are out there, but we share that with the higher animals, the primates and a lot of the mammals, and that's where we process language. And so the bottom line of the article was that the psychological warfare technique that the Bush campaign in general has been using lately is one that was really first figured out during World War One, and fine-tuned through the 50s and 60s. Vance Packard wrote about this, the hidden persuaders and stuff in the 60s, of trying to access all three brains at the same time with a message. So you want to instill in people, first of all, fear, They're going to get us.
Right.
And then secondly, hope. But we can live well if we conquer. And then third, only third, the intellect. And here's how we're going to do it. And the problem is, that, in my opinion, the unfortunate reality is that the Kerry campaign up to this point has only been using the third brain. They, you know, I think that's just John Kerry's style. He's very intellectual.
Yeah.
They talk about intellectual issues.
Okay.
And in the meantime, the other guys are pounding people.
Punching us in the head.
And lizard brain level.
Right. Hey, Tom, let's flesh out this Cheney issue. When we come back after this break, you'll stay with us, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
We'll see you in a minute on Air America Radio.
Have you been injured by a neoconservative doctor who mistakenly left something inside you after surgery? Or did the procedure go wrong altogether? Have you suffered an injury because your Bush-supporting landlord kept debris lying around or didn't repair something on the property? Maybe a heartless employer wrongfully fired you under the guise of workforce of mass reduction. If you or a loved one have been injured in any type of accident or are a victim of malpractice or discrimination, call the law firm of Shaffron & Mosley at 212-631-7000. With over 40 years' experience, Shaffron & Mosley have successfully fought corporations and insurance companies, securing millions of dollars in money damages for injured or wronged clients. Conveniently located in the Empire State Building, Shaffron & Mosley will discuss your case with you for free and will not charge a fee unless they are successful. Call Shaffron & Mosley 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 212-631-7000.
What's inside? The JCPenney Wednesday, one day only sale, this Wednesday only. For back to school, save big with amazing 50% off specials throughout the store. Like 50% off entire stock Arizona tops or bottoms for juniors, young men, and kids. 50% off backpacks from Mud, Champion, and Jaguar. And for the dorm, 50% off the JCPenney home collection towel. The JCPenney Wednesday, one day only sale. One big day, one big sale. JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale on August 25th.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
When allergies come with sinus pain, my Claritin just doesn't have it.
My Benadryl doesn't have it either.
Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies. Stop allergies that hurt.
Our guest is the author of We the People, A Call to Take Back America, and What Would Jefferson Do? He's also a radio show host up in Vermont. Tom Hartman is on the phone. We're talking about the PSYOP/advertising power punch to the brain that Cheney is so good at, and also the Republican campaign machine turns out to be very good at. I'd like you, to deconstruct a little bit the Cheney statement that you cite in your article, and exactly how this impacts all these elements of the brain, these aspects of the brain.
Well, it's really very simple. He just said, John Kerry used the word sensitive, which oddly, the same day, about 3 hours later, George Bush had used, but nonetheless, he said, John Kerry used the word sensitive. We can't have a sensitive war on terrorists. I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it right in front of me, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, we don't need to be sensitive, we need to destroy them,
Right, he said, America's been in too many wars for any of our wishes, but not one of them has been won by being sensitive.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that just operates on, it gives people the hope you were talking about. It frightens them on the core level of their reptilian brains with him. Their survival will be bolstered.
Yeah, and then he drove it in a few more times in the course of the lecture. It's what you guys do so well on Air America, by the way, using humor as a way of activating the multiple brains. You know, laughter is an involuntary response. It doesn't come from the thinking brain. And, it's driven down, you know, from there. And so I my suggestion in the article was that the Kerry campaign needs to start using ridicule against the Bush administration and start evoking more emotion.
Where's their evil genius? You know, and they've got Rove over there, and they had Atwater back in the old days. I mean, are all evil advertising psyop geniuses Republicans?
No, there's some that are Democrats, I'm sure.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Tom Harmon,
I know a few in my life.
Tom Harmon, I got to ask you, how do you apply this three-brain theory to why the Swift Boat veterans ads seem to have some traction? I mean, aside from the fact that the media has kept the story alive for a couple of weeks, maybe we shouldn't have, why do you think that this series of ads seems to have such a provoke such a response?
Well, I it goes back to the big lie theory. I think that the thing that has caused it to get into the media the way it is, aside from the fact that the book is being published by a publishing company that Scaife owns a piece of, and there's big bucks behind the PR machine. I mean, you guys know what it's like to be on the receiving end of PR.
No, we don't. Not at this show.
Not on this show.
Later in the afternoon.
The network, but not us.
I mean, they're doing some heavy duty work. Yeah. But beyond that, it's such an outrageous story. You know, it's basically they're saying, you know, this candidate for president of the United States lied, and there was this weird conspiracy theory that he you know, planned back when he was 20 years old to get shot at a couple of times, but not killed, just shot at. And as if you have control over that in a war zone, right?
What about the people that believe this crap, though? I mean, what about those people? What is it? What kind of people are those? Frightened people, right?
Well, I think there are people who are still fighting. I mean, they're still fighting the Vietnam War. They're still, you know, what we're seeing, I think, frankly, with John O'Neill. I saw the tape with him and Dick Cavett back 6 months ago or so when C-SPAN played it.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of people who still believe that Richard Nixon was right and the Vietnam War was the best thing and the domino theory and our pulling out of there led to Pol Pot, blah de blah de blah, and you know, and in fact they feel vindicated by that, and that anybody who opposed the war was a traitor to America and they're going to get them.
So this is their opportunity. They see a window opportunity to win the Vietnam War.
That's right.
Now, what you were saying is interesting because we talked to a veteran earlier today and we've been playing segments of Kerry's 1971 speech to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is that it seems to me that, you know, these guys have to maintain that level of denial, that sort of, you know, government enforced denial, because the amount of shame and horror that they would feel about themselves is probably so overwhelming they can't even picture it.
Well, and they're also, like so many of the people in this campaign, they're believers that the ends justify the means.
Mm.
Lie for truth sort of
right.
thing, you know. And so, for example, John Kerry said that he had met with a group of 150 veterans in Detroit who told him stories of things they had seen, of cutting off ears and blowing up limbs. And of course, this new ad now just takes this little excerpt as if Kerry is making this accusation, as if he's even perhaps making the accusation about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the level of it goes beyond disingenuous. I mean, the level of lies are just extraordinary. And because they speak to core issues like, you know, integrity and truthfulness, they have tremendous impact, and I'm very concerned. I mean, this is Willie Horton. When George W. Bush, back during his father's campaign, made the comment to Lee Atwater, "Get out your dirty tricks book."
But it's tremendous impact with narrow-minded, frightened, mystically thinking, compromised people.
Well, yeah, to some extent, I mean, there are still a lot of people around who, back in the 70s, looked at those of us who were standing around with long hair and protesting the war and said, you know, those people are not part of our tribe.
Right,
you know,
right,
there was,
right, right.
There was really this sense of the two tribes of America, mm-hmm. and the polarization was pretty extreme. I mean, it, you know, it reached a zenith at Kent State, I'd say.
Yeah.
And you know, they're still around, and they'd like to have their tribe vindicated.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our guest is Tom Hartman, author of We the People, A Call to Take Back America, and What Would Jefferson Do? He's also a radio host in the state of Vermont. What, Tom, would Jefferson do if he were confronted with the same kind of smear campaign that George Bush is laying on John Kerry?
Well, in fact, he was. When he ran against John Adams in 1800 for president, a friend of John Adams, who was a newspaper publisher, ran a series of articles about how Jefferson had been sleeping with his wife's half-sister, who was also his slave, Sally Hemings.
So, wow.
He faced that, and what he did was he stopped reading newspapers for a while. He just couldn't handle it. But the reality, of course, that we know now is that he was being challenged with something that was truthful, which might have something to do with why he didn't go after it. But I think the reality is that we're seeing a level of lying and deception in this campaign that is largely unprecedented in American history, with the possible exception of George Bush Sr. with the Willie Horton ads, the Max Cleland assault, and George W. It seems to be something that comes out of the Bush family and out of this new mentality of the ends justify the means, this absolute amorality.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good place to end. Tom Hartman, really appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm pleased to be here, Mark.
You take care.
Take care.
Have a good day. Tom Hartman, author of We the People, A Call to Take Back America, and also What Would Jefferson Do? We'll be back with the Liberal Confessional after this here on Air America Radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
I'm Jim Hightower, and I've approved this message.
Jim Hightower is not running for office, but he is back this campaign season with an important word about the regime of King George the W.
Let's stop beating around the bush. These people are nuts.
Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush is Hightower's hilarious new best-selling book, offering you unvarnished facts, insight, and humor to get you through this year's political spin cycle. Buy Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush today and make politics fun again. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy it today.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
You can listen and order it today at www.airamericaradio.com. Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records, The Revolution Starts Now.
Revolution starts now.
Attention smokers, find out how to get 2 free cartons of your preferred brand of cigarettes. That's right, the makers of Smoke Free and 3 are so confident you will finally quit smoking that they'll buy your next 2 cartons for you if you don't quit. Never again will you have smoke-filled clothes, bad breath, or jeopardize the health of your loved ones. Just listen to these ex-smokers.
I've been smoking a carton of cigarettes per week as long as I can remember. The very first day I started the Smoke Free and 3 system, I quit.
This is Shelly, and my cravings have decreased. I'm calmer, less irritable, and I've been smoke-free for a month now.
This system really surprised me on how effectively and quickly it worked.
Smoke Free and 3 is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of Smoke Free and 3 at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days, guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next 2 cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766. 7766.
God, it always brings back some of the more exciting moments in my mind of my adolescence, that song. We got coming up next hour, Jim Wasser, John Kerry, second in command on PCF 44, which should be a very exciting conversation. But right now, Mark, sometimes it's not easy being a liberal. You know, we all stray from the straight and narrow progressive path from time to time. So when I need to unburden myself, I step into the morning sedition confessional. Bless me, Brother Riley, for I have sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Brother Riley, I don't know what to do about the homeless. I see them every day, and they're clearly needy. Do I give them money? Do I not? When does compassion and become indulgence? Will my quarter really help? I mean, shouldn't the government be doing this? I have all these questions in the span of a half a second. It's exhausting.
You have a strong will to do good and some powerful neuroses, but go on.
I know you have to be consistent. It has to be a consistent policy about giving. Like, you know, for me, if I see a guy with missing limbs, yeah, I'll give him $1. If I see a crackhead, I'll give him $0.25. I'll give him money, but I will judge their need appropriately. What I'm saying, though, you can't just give money to one person and not give it to another. But that's what I've done. I mean, some days I'm like, no, I don't feel like it. Go away, man. And, you know, it's just like I don't have a consistent thing. And what if you run out of change? Do we draw the line at paper money?
I sense there's more.
And it's not really the money, Mark. I'm afraid if I don't give it, it plants that seed of conservative thinking that could spread to other areas. Pretty soon I'm talking about estate tax and offshore accounts. And
my son, your predicament is a common one.
Oh.
Our society so reveres money that any casual parting with it is almost a sacrilege. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you've actually earned your money. Much of it is luck, both the having and not having it. As Sinatra says, riding high in April, shot down in May, back on top in June.
Right.
That's life. So don't be such an uptight schmuck about it. For your penance, you have to give money to the homeless, even if they don't ask. Now, go and sin no more.
Amen. Oh, I feel better, man. Thanks a lot. We got Fred, a Vietnam vet, on the line from Georgia. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good, all right. Man. How you doing? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I've been listening to your show. I've actually called you before, but it's kind of interesting to me, this whole Swift Boat veteran thing. This is kind of typical Republican tactics.
Sure.
I don't know if the other Mark is familiar with the Helga Hagen-Douglas pink paper business in California and Richard Nixon.
Oh, what was that, back in like 48 maybe or something?
Yeah, 48, 1950, somewhere in that range.
Uh-huh.
And it was the same thing. It was a smear tactic. It was making a third party supposedly making accusations about a reasonably decent person so that Richard Nixon could wash his hands of the accusations and say he didn't believe them either, but it was out there.
As a vet, though, what's your reaction? Have you had any experience with what was your reaction during that time? Where were you at?
I was an infantry officer. I served with the 199th Light Infantry Brigade. I was a company commander.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
that's a tough gig, by the way. That's the gig where you actually have to send people out into danger.
Mm.
Well, and you're not that far from it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the bottom line, it was about the same rank that John Kerry was.
Mm-hmm.
But irrespective of that, I think my guys put a pretty good show. And I am aware of some atrocities that occurred, not necessarily with my own unit, but other units. And the thing that's kind of frustrating about this whole business with these Swift Boat guys is that John Kerry not only showed personal leadership and courage as a soldier or as a officer in Vietnam,
right,
but he came back and could see what the war was doing to his troops, what it was doing to the country.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty obvious,
yes,
what was happening. If you lived through that era, you know that people were killing each other.
Sure.
I mean, Kent State was no joke.
Right.
No, it wasn't.
Having said all of that, he comes back and he says, "Well, we got to do something about this. We can't just walk away from this, you know."
And he stood up.
So he shows some personal courage.
Yeah.
I participated in the Winter Soldier investigations that you've referred to, not in Detroit, but there was another chapter of it in California.
Yep.
I joined the Vietnam Veterans Against the War and became pretty active with them.
Well, good
and,
for you, man.
I met John Kerry at a rally.
And your impression? We got to go here in a second. What was your impression?
Well, I said to him, it seems to me that what we're doing is kind of dangerous. I said, you bet your boots it's dangerous. These people will slit your throat and drink your blood.
Oh, right on. So he's talking about the Republicans. That's great. Well, thanks for calling. Really appreciate it, Fred. What we got coming up, Mark?
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Swift Vote, right?
Yeah.
Swift Vote veteran Jim Wasser, the presidential palm pilot, recovery corner, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Bolt a set of Goodyear Wranglers to your truck and harness four of the hardest working tires around. People who know trucks know that Wranglers are tough and dependable. Plus, Wrangler's bold tread shouts traction. And here's more good news. Buy four Goodyear Wranglers now and get up to a $75 cash card. Visit a participating retailer or call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details. But hurry, because this mail-in offer on Goodyear's hardworking Wranglers ends August 28th.
I think today, in particular, women have a tremendous amount that they're carrying around, men and women.
Wendy Light for the Doctor's Night Guard Dental Protector.
I own a flower shop. I have a lot on my plate. I grind my teeth very, very, very badly. I clench, I grind. The Doctor's Night Guard took care of that. You know, we have the weight of the world on our shoulders. We don't need the weight of the world in our mouths.
Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard in the oral care section.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. With the election just around the corner, the Bush administration is facing more problems on trying to stabilize the crisis in Iraq. The words unprepared and unreliable were used to describe the Iraqi Interior Ministry troops. The U.S. military says there's been an 80% plus desertion rate there. Iraqi forces were being prepared for the deployment against the insurgents responsible for the ongoing uprising in Najaf. U.S. troops have been deeply involved in that effort. The investigative arm of Congress, the Government Accounting Office, says the effect of Iraqi security forces are critical for transitioning security responsibilities to Iraq. American taxpayers have already coughed up $1.2 billion in developing Iraq security forces. More violence out of Baghdad this morning. An assassination attempt on the lives of two government ministers was foiled. Bombs, however, went off in two attacks, killing five people. The attacks were aimed at the education and environment ministers of the interim government. Florida Republican Party is facing a racial discrimination charge in a federal lawsuit. Former field director for the party, Nadia Knopf, says she was fired from her job after complaining about being assigned to work with black organizations, events, and issues. 25-year-old Tampa woman is black. She had been working for the RNC between August 2003 and April of this year. Knapp says she was the only black field director at the time of release. She says she was told to work with the black organizations, quote, because you understand your people. An important word with the Republican convention in New York next week. New York hospital officials say they aren't prepared to react to a chemical, biological, or nuclear attack. Head of the region's hospital association tells the New York Times this morning the federal government has not given the money hospitals would need to be able to handle a terror attack. He says facilities still lack the room and equipment that would be necessary to cope with victims of a biological or chemical strike. He also says the government hasn't given the promised guidance on how to react to another strike, nor the money needed to properly train the region's health care providers. Several hundred union members marched outside the Labor Department to protest new overtime pay regulations taking effect yesterday, with two senators pledging to try to roll them back when Congress returns from recess. Protesters, many wearing union T-shirts, carried signs such as "President Bush hands off my overtime pay" and chanted, "Come on, y'all billionaires, give us wages that are fair." Fight is not over yet, said Republican Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, an opponent of the changes who is facing a tough re-election bid in November. Congress reconvened September 7th, but critics of the rules acknowledge a repeal is a long shot given the threat of a veto by President Bush. Employers have sought the changes for decades, complaining the rules were ambiguous and out of date. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Do you have trouble falling asleep?
You get a full night's sleep but still wake up tired? You wake up with aches and pains? Answering yes means you need to change the way you sleep. Hi, I'm David Spillo of Dormia, announcing the grand opening of our newest showroom at the Garden State Plaza. Dormia uses modern sleep technology and the finest materials to create the most advanced sleep systems ever. NASA-developed memory foam for pressure relief, 100% pure Belgian latex for orthopedic support, and the finest European quilted covers for comfort and breathability. Dormia mattresses and adjustable beds are the most comfortable, luxurious, and healthiest beds you can buy. Now, during our grand opening sale, all mattresses at all stores have been reduced and include free delivery and installation. Also, qualified buyers receive no interest, no payment financing until 2005. So, try a Dormia and start sleeping better. Dormia at the Palisade Center, the Poughkeepsie Galleria, the Galleria Crystal Run in Middletown, the Danbury Fair Mall, the Crossgates Mall in Albany, the Willowbrook Mall, and now open at the Garden State Plaza.
When I saw how beautiful she was, I thought, this is just icing on the cake.
He put his things down and kissed me, and he said, not only is your heart beautiful, but you're beautiful on the outside also.
She took my breath away.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Sometimes a simple love story says it all.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
It's emotional, spiritual, and physical.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we'd sure like to help you have that feeling of being in love with your soulmate. That's why at eHarmony, we match you on the deep dimensions of compatibility that make for relationships designed to last a lifetime.
This man is everything that I have ever dreamed of.
Let eHarmony help you find the love of your life. Log on to eHarmony and take our $40 personality profile. Yours free when you log on today. Lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
If you're in sales and aren't using WebEx, you could be losing money. Big money. With WebEx, the leader in web meetings, you get the interactivity of face-to-face meetings without the hassle and expense of flying or driving. And because WebEx meetings are so convenient, you'll make more sales presentations, which means bigger commissions for you. Go to WebEx.com for a 14-day free trial to see how powerful a WebEx sales meeting can be. Be where you need to be with WebEx meetings. Get started with a 14-day free trial. That's WebEx.com.
Unfiltered.
Coming up on the next Unfiltered, we've got your back during the bushwhack. Stephen Taberge is here to tell us how the ACLU will provide a sane sanctuary for RNC protesters during the Red Scare. Make sure those who serve and protect don't become those who swerve and eject. How mad is your square garden?
This Wednesday, Chuck D and Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Hallelujah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Man, what a morning it's been already. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher, kings, and queens. Mark Riley among them.
Who?
Hey, what about this?
If you want to know about George W. Bush's service to his country, just talk to the men who served with him.
Bush? Yeah, twitchy fella. Kept getting nosebleeds and talking all night.
He's the father of my 3 children. Possibly.
I served with Bush. We were abducted by aliens and spent 4 long days being violated by steel probes. I'll never go back to Mexico.
I served with Bush. I mean, I was in the guard at the same time he was. He had a locker. Maybe he was on the late shift.
Had a hook for a hand?
Sure.
Bush was an abortion doctor. Everyone knows that.
This ad is sponsored by the Texas Air National Guard Veterans Force.
How about that? Jim Wasser, John Kerry's second in command on PCF 44, the swift boat at the center of the scrutiny, will be on our show in a half hour. Maybe a little of this?
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Hey, Tim, sitting in for Chris. How about that second swift boat ad that...
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry just loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's
my poop. Fire truck.
John Kerry, not good.
Kerry, no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Here's a bit of email, Mr. Riley. I am 53 and served three tours in Vietnam. I can tell you that Swift Boaters for Bush are playing to baby boomers who never got over Nam. About 60% of the nation saw Vietnam as a mistake and made peace with themselves. The other 40% believe in, quote, America right or wrong, end quote. Quote, love it or leave it, end quote, etc. They will never see Vietnam as a mistake. The Swift Boaters for Bush are targeting this group. They are using Kerry as a representative of other 60% who were right, by the way. Frankly, I admire Kerry for what he did after the war, and at that time, Bush was in a drugged-out haze. We've been talking to vets all morning. We've been playing the audio of the Kerry, I guess, speech or testimony to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in 1971. We are contextualizing it. We are putting it into context as the Swift Voters for BS took it out of context, and it's been very effective. As I was talking to you earlier, Mark, about listening to it last night, sitting at home alone, hearing the sensitivity, and I'm saying that in a good way, hearing the authenticity, the nobility, the courage of John Kerry in a very humane and very sort of provocative and honest, you know, description of what was going on. That, you know, a lot of the comments on the ad were taken, you know, from statements that he was passing on to the committee, and this was to stand up for veterans, to say that they were being, you know, misrepresented by the administration, and that the administration was involved in a war that was unwinnable and for the wrong reasons, a war based on a lie. And does that sound familiar? And he was standing up for vets, you know, who were feeling disenfranchised, who were being swept under the carpet, who were being, you know, sent to the corner with their shame and their own personal horror. And the people that are fighting against him, as we talked to Thomas Hartman earlier, and I said it earlier today, and I think it's true, is that these guys, these Swift Boat guys, aside from being stooges for the Republicans, really are seeing a window of opportunity to win the Vietnam War.
Well, they see that window of opportunity, but what a lot of people miss in this discussion is an honest, sober recollection of what our president was doing while John Kerry was dodging bullets in Vietnam. And that is the subject of a piece done by Michael Tomosky in the American Prospect Online called Cowards All Around. The media should take a big step back. The media should take a step back and remind us what Bush and Cheney were up to in 1969.
Is that on Pashman's Picks? That should be on Pashman's
Picks. Yeah, I believe it is. Now, here's a quote that Michael Tomosky, and I like Michael. Michael's a good friend. He's got a quote in here from George W. Bush to the Dallas Morning News in 1990. Now, this, of course, was talking about his years spent during the Vietnam War. He was apparently deciding how to get out of going to Vietnam. He said, quote, "I was not prepared to shoot my eardrum out with a shotgun in order to get a deferment, nor was I willing to go to Canada. So I chose to better myself by learning how to fly airplanes." That is our president at the time John Kerry was agonizing over the wages of war that he experienced firsthand. This guy says, "Well, I decided to fly airplanes." Now, look, you know, I lived during Vietnam. I had no intention of going to Vietnam, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But then I'm not running for president, mm-hmm, okay? I'll be honest with you. I have always admired the people because I knew a lot of people who went. A lot of friends of mine went. Some of my friends didn't come back.
Yeah.
And I agonized over that, over my lack of service years ago on that level. But George W. Bush, for somebody to be this dishonest about what they did during the same period, and then to sit back and not have the nads to condemn a bunch of guys who were going to impugn the integrity and reputation of someone who served, someone who could have gotten one of those deferments, could have been standing next to George Bush's locker, maybe in the Texas Air National Guard if his daddy had that kind of juice.
Yeah.
And what does George W. Bush do? George W. Bush says, well, you know, the 527s, these things, these situations where people are able to just, you know, spend money on advocacy, that's what's the problem.
Yeah, what I heard in him saying was like, you know what, you want to play games? This is how we play games. So either you pull out or we're going to keep playing games on our terms. You know, he was just being a smug bully. And the weird thing is when I listen to this speech, and we're going to play some more of it after, you know, in a minute, because it's been very engaging for me. And because when I was a kid, even in the early 70s, when I was really young, mm-hmm, just starting to read magazines, Mad Magazine, starting to see the culture around me. You know, all I wanted to be was a hippie. You know, all I wanted to be was to stand for that, to be counterculture, to be, you know, to stand up against authority, to fight the good fight. When I heard this thing, this example that these guys are using against John Kerry, all I hear is like, I am reinvigorated in my, you know, in my belief in him as a decent and democratic and diplomatic politician. You know, and the truth of the matter is, any criticism these guys throw at him about being a showboating person or politicizing the war, you know what? So what? You know, he did something he believed in, and if that, and he knew he wanted to be a politician, you know, God bless him for being a politician. This is a guy, for years, has wanted nothing more than to bring a certain nobility, dignity, and truth back to the office of any government position he has served in.
Well, see, that's the interesting thing about John Kerry. No one throughout John Kerry's years of public service can say he did anything but public service. He didn't line his pockets with all kinds of money. He didn't go out here and do the kinds of things that politicians do as a matter of course to get elected and to get reelected.
Yeah.
John Kerry has always stood on, this is who I am, vote for me based on who I am.
Yeah.
Not, you know, I'm going to do this. George W. Bush is deliberately, and people need to be clear about this, he is deliberately obscuring his plans for a second Bush term. Why do people think that is? Well, could it be because he doesn't have a plan?
Well, in Krugman's piece that comes out today, which I'm sure is on Pashman's Fix, that's Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Lyndon Pashman from New Jersey, it's called the Rambo Coalition. It's in the New York Times. Almost a year ago, on the second anniversary of 9/11, I predicted an ugly, bitter campaign, probably the nastiest of modern American history. The reasons I gave then still apply. President Bush has no positive achievements to run on. Let me repeat that. No positive achievements to run on. Yet his inner circle cannot afford to see him lose. If he does, the shroud of secrecy will be lifted and the public will learn the truth about cooked intelligence, profiteering, politicization of Homeland Security, and more.
Could that be somebody maybe going to jail, perhaps?
I hope so. You know, and I really want to, you know, the explore the parallels between Kerry's speech and about Vietnam and about, you know, what's happening in Iraq today. I think we're going to play some more of that after the break, right?
Yeah, we are. And see, the other thing, Mark, is that when we talk about why Bush doesn't come forward with any kind of positive programs, it's really because he has nothing to run on. 22 states reported a drop in payroll jobs last month alone. That's double the number that reported payroll drops for the month of June. This is according to new Labor Department statistics. The declines are supposedly slight in most cases, but this economy is an illusion.
It's not turning a corner?
No, it's
is
not
it
turning a corner.
Hitting a wall?
No. And, battleground states showing job losses. Florida, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Pennsylvania, and New Mexico.
Maybe he can try to continue to frighten them out of realizing they're going broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he can continue to frighten the people of America to not realize we're going into an amount of debt that is like my grandchildren aren't going to live to see this debt repaid.
And not only that, he's being cowardly because what he's doing is putting the weight for trying to collect taxes rather than, you know, he's cutting taxes for his rich friends. And at the same time, he is increasing the burden by cutting federal aid. He's making states and municipalities depend on, guess what? Property taxes.
Yeah.
And those are the taxes that people react most strongly and most viscerally to.
We are a nation in danger.
That's right.
Yes.
To put it lightly. We'll be back with more of that Kerry piece and more of today's news, and also with Jim Wasser, John Kerry's second in command, after this on Air America Radio.
There's a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we're a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists, is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It does not use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It is a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you're tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's Theradate.com. For unlimited time, it's free to join our totally unique service.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
And allergies come with sinus pain. My Claritin just doesn't have it.
My Benadryl doesn't have it either.
Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies. Stop allergies that hurt.
What that sound is? Let me help you out. It's a jail cell door getting slammed shut after you've been booked for DUI. Don't think you'll get caught? Think again. Officers are cracking down from coast to coast this month. So listen up. If you drive impaired, you will pay. The choice is yours. Designate a sober driver or... You drink and drive, you lose. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
As a pharmacist, I get lots of questions this time of year. It's the season for scrapes, itchy bug bites, and rashes. That's why I recommend Maximum Strength Gold Bond Cream and First Aid Spray for fast, soothing relief. Gold Bond Cream has two maximum strength medicines that are proven to relieve pain and itch really fast. And Gold Bond First Aid Spray, in an easy-to-use pump, helps stop pain and itch. Plus, it helps kill germs that can lead to infection. This summer, get Gold Bond and get fast, soothing relief you can trust.
Wow, man. Could you imagine how many listeners we kind of have hanging out if we had traffic and weather? Wouldn't it be interesting if we could just give New Yorkers their traffic and weather?
Marin, you are a devil.
At 4 months into this thing, wouldn't it be great if the Air America family would give us traffic and weather so maybe we could do our job a little more efficiently? Gee, I wonder what that would take to get traffic and weather on our show.
Abracadabra?
Does Al Franken have traffic and weather?
No.
Oh, I just scratched my head on one of these lights for his Sundance channel. Sour grapes. I'm not sour graping it. I'm not. I love Al Franken.
I love Air America Radio.
It's just like, you know, some people are like, hey, man, lay off Al Franken. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anyone in Key West. I can't because we're not on there. I'm not bitter. You know, we're all working for the cause, and I love everybody, including Ramon, who has been put out of the Oval Office and is apparently pretending like he's a gardener. But he did get us the presidential palm pilot for today. Here's the president's schedule. 9 o'clock a.m., wake up in Crawford. Stay on message. I'm against soft money attack ads. I tied up Kerry for a week. I still got it. 11 a.m., prepare for convention. Work on the compassion thing. Hell, I'm on vacation. I can get compassionate next week. 12 noon, put on chaps. Feeling cowboy frisky. Beg Laura to wear a sexy cowgirl outfit. See if I can get her to wipe that creepy robot smile off her face. 1 p.m. All right, that didn't work. Call Swiftboat Better and say, get on down here, fellas. I'm forming a posse. We're going to ride out to the Piggly Wiggly and track down some pork chops. 3 p.m. Not doing nothing. Well, maybe I should... Nah. 8 p.m. Not doing nothing some more. I'm the master. 9 p.m. Watch Olympics. How do we lose to Romania? What is a Romania? 11 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thoughts. Headline, quote, Bush's vacation called boldest, most decisive downtime ever. End quote.
Mm.
And now for traffic and weather. No?
We got a call from somebody talking about traffic and weather.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. That's all I hear about. Yeah, but you know what? The network's doing everything they can to make our show succeed, which is what I appreciate. Pretty soon you're going to be able to see a live simulcast on the Weather Channel. Of morning sedition, when we get traffic and weather.
No, weather or not. Yeah, now we do have, on a serious note, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry.
Switching deftly from the
plane. Well, I mean, I've been enjoying this all morning, and, you know, and it was, you know why I haven't said, well, you know, Why aren't they talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. Why don't they do something? Because we are. You know, today, you know, yesterday we just got back from vacation, and I wanted nothing more than to really explore this Kerry speech from 1971. And all day we've been doing it, and we've got Jim Wasser coming in, who's John Kerry's second in command, and we've talked to vets all morning. It's been a great show for me because I'm learning a lot, and I'm also, you know, engaging in a part of John Kerry that, you know, that a lot of people don't really know. And now you can actually hear it in the tenor of his voice. And this is
important. You remember Bob, who we talked to a little bit earlier, who said that he joined Vietnam Vets Against the War. He ran into John Kerry at a rally.
Yeah.
And John Kerry said to him, look, you know, there are potential consequences to doing what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Speaking out against the war as veterans.
Right.
A lot of the people who were members of Vietnam Vets Against the War during that early 70s period never really recovered from the kind of flack they got for speaking out. Again, the person that sent that email was right. It was about 60% of the country understood that Vietnam was a mistake. That left 40% of the country that really felt that the people who were against the war were against them, against the service,
yeah,
and against the country. And
right,
people have held on to that. The Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, George W. Bush, all the rest of these, and Dick Cheney, they have all held on to that belief system for way, way too long, and they saw a political opportunity to reopen these old wounds. They saw a political opportunity to say to people who still feel that way and who feel that way about Iraq, look, apply the lessons of Vietnam to Iraq. John Kerry is saying that in a very, very different way as a man who served his country.
Exactly.
All right? And we need to keep hammering the fact, Bush, Cheney, all of the, with the, I believe, exception of Rumsfeld, the rest of these guys didn't serve.
No.
And hey, there's nothing ignoble about not going to service. But when you send other people's families and other people's kids off to war, you better know what you're doing. You better have a plan, and you better be able to keep the peace once you do something in another country. And they have failed miserably at doing that.
Oh, let's listen to, you know, and also, like, you know, this was a war designed by, you know, intellectuals and a power elite that I don't understand why all these working people that believe, that are so anti-intellectual and so anti-liberal elite, why they can't see that, you know, Wolfowitz, Pearl, all the designers of the Pax Americana, Potteritz, you know, all those dudes, you know, they are the intellectual elites that are, they're continuing to end the world. Where's your resentment towards them? And let's hear Kerry's bit on the leaders that sent him to war.
We are here to ask, and we're here to ask vehemently, where are the leaders of our country? Where is the leadership? We're here to ask, where are McNamara, Gostow, Bundy, Kilpatrick, and so many others? Where are they now that we, the men whom they sent off to war, have returned? These are commanders who have deserted their troops. And there is no more serious crime in the law of war. The Army says they never leave their wounded. The Marines say they never leave even their dead. These men have left all the casualties and retreated behind a pious shield of public rectitude. They've left the real stuff of their reputations bleaching behind them in the sun in this country. And finally, this administration has done us the ultimate dishonor. They have attempted to disown us and the sacrifices we made for this country. In their blindness and fear, they have tried to deny that we are veterans or that we served in Nam. We do not need their testimony. Our own scars and stumps of limbs are witness enough for others and for ourselves. We wish that a merciful God could wipe away our own memories of that service as easily as this administration has wiped their memories of us.
Deep, man. Deep. That's 1971 presidential candidate John Kerry. And you know what? It's just mind-blowing. We've got a president now who wouldn't even go to military funerals, who is cutting veterans' benefits, mm-hmm, who is cutting veterans' pay, who is not a veterans' president. Yet people who believe in duty and sacrifice despite the truth of what is really going on will continue to rally behind this fraud. It's mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing because it's mind-blowing politically, because it's very rare that you can reach back 30 years and bring something forward that works like this has apparently worked. The good thing about all of this controversy is that it's happening during the month of August,
mm-hmm.
and that we got 2 months after Labor Day before the election. And again, I believe that John Kerry is the Mariano Rivera of politics, and I'm not saying that to be flip. I believe that he is a closer.
Yeah.
I believe he will bring the heat in the last 2 months of this election, and that he will, in the end, stun the media, stun the pundits, stun the pollsters by winning this election. And you're hearing me say this now,
yeah.
by 8 to 10 points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm with you on that, and I hope you're right. I think he's doing a good job. I think that, you know, whatever criticism we had about his reaction to this thing, we're covering for him. We'll do it, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we're not, you know, we're not toadies here.
Yeah.
Coming up, Swift Boat veteran Jim Wasser, Recovery Corner, The Liberal Agenda, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. A group of veterans in Oregon is calling for the head of an Oregon assistant district attorney who appeared in television ads attacking Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry and his military record. The veterans are upset, to put it mildly, because assistant DA Al French admitted to lying on the TV spot and said in the commercial what his friends told him to say about Kerry. That same group responsible for a series of anti-Kerry attack ads on his military record in swing states will be unveiling new ads today in three states. Those ads will say that Kerry was a sellout. The Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is releasing the ads after the president yesterday called for an end to all attack ads. New York Times yesterday detailed the links between the Swift Boat vets and the Bush administration. And a leading Harvard researcher says the Bush White House is sleeping on the issue of nuclear terrorism, which could hit any American city within the next 10 years. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gill.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
Let's be honest. By now, you've probably heard of Levitra, Levitra Vardenafil HCL. I bet you're still wondering, does Levitra really do what it's supposed to? Well, I can tell you, but where's the fun in that? Talk to your doctor. Oh. You know, when they say nothing ventured, nothing gained, they aren't kidding.
Ask your doctor if a free trial is right for you. Call 1-866-LEVITRA or visit Levitra.com to find out more. Levitra, when it counts. Individual results may vary.
Hey, you reached Chris and Jim. Leave a message. Hey, sweetie, it's me. You're not going to believe this. I'm still here. Looks like I'm going to be late again, so don't wait for me for dinner, okay? I'm really sorry. I love you. See you later. Okay. Bye.
You know what's wrong with gay marriages? The same things that are wrong with straight ones. Support same-sex marriage. A message from PFLAG and EqualMarriage.ca.
The Mike Malloy Show.
He passed the Healthy Forest Initiative, you know, No Tree Left Behind, which is a handout to the logging industry, which contributed $14 million to political campaigns since 1999, 80% going to Republicans.
Air America's Mike Malloy.
Healthy Forest. How does it work? It solves the problem of forest fires by cutting down the trees. What the hell? Yes, absolutely. Cut them down, then they won't burn.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Tremendous. Mark Maron here, Morning Sedition. That's Mark Riley sitting over there.
Present.
Did I mention my name is Mark and I'm an alcoholic?
Hi, Mark.
Hey, thank you. And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering my counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. George W., we've talked a lot about taking an inventory, making an honest assessment of your life, and I'm looking at a picture of you right here in front of me on a website. You're wearing your Air Force uniform, you got a big smile on your face, and what's that on your chest? Oh, it's a ribbon! Air Force Outstanding Unit Award. That must make you very proud. You look proud. Of course, maybe your unit earned it, but you didn't earn it, did you, George? That's your problem. You don't earn things. You take, you receive gifts, but you don't earn. Oh, sure, it's just a little pin, a little ribbon. No one will notice. Pretty soon you're having your brother get and fix the elections in Florida. Small lies lead to big lies, and big lies lead to the bottle. That's right. Big lies are the bottle's best friend. And how can you criticize Kerry's record when you're wearing military awards you never earned? You didn't even go. Stop playing dress-up, George. Take off the costume and put on some big boy clothes. And take on some big boy responsibilities, little man, you fraud. Listen, remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Sorry about the tough love, but you understand that, all right? Get to a meeting, all right? Just remember, you got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. Don't drink. Get to a meeting. That's that. Right now.
Did you call the President of the United States a little fraud?
I think I said little man and fraud.
And fraud. There you go.
Well, certainly.
Just want to be clear.
Oh, God. You know, let's move back into what we were talking about, the courage and dignity and the nobility and truth that John Kerry wants to restore to the White House. Right now, we're going to talk to John Kerry, second in command on Swift Boat PCF 44. Today, he's a union electrician. He's talking to us from Illinois. Please welcome Jim Wasser to the show. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, sir. Can you speak up just a little, please?
I sure can. Is that better?
Yes, sir, it is. How are you doing today?
All right. How you doing?
We're pretty good. We've been going through we've been going through John Kerry's speech to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in 1971.
Yes, sir.
And we'd like to play a segment of that for you and get your reaction to it. Would that be all right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm here for you guys.
All right, right on.
You think about a poster in this country with a picture of Uncle Sam, and the picture says, "I want you." And a young man comes out of high school and says, "That's fine, I'm going to serve my country." And he goes to Vietnam and he shoots and he kills and he does his job. Or maybe he doesn't kill, maybe he just goes and he comes back. And when he gets back to this country, he finds that he isn't really wanted. Because the largest unemployment figure in the country, it varies depending on who you get it from, the Veterans Administration, 15%. Various other sources, 22%, but the largest figure of unemployed in this country are veterans of this war. And of those veterans, 33% of the unemployed are black. That means one out of every 10 of the nation's unemployed is a veteran of Vietnam. The hospitals across the country won't or can't meet their demands. It's not a question of not trying, they haven't got the appropriations. A man recently died after he had a tracheotomy in California. Not because of the operation, but because there wasn't enough personnel to clean the mucus out of his tube and he suffocated to death. Another young man just died in a New York VA hospital the other day. A friend of mine was lying in a bed two beds away and tried to help him. But he couldn't. They rang a bell and there was no one there to service that man. And so he died of convulsions. 57%, I understand 57% of all those entering VA hospitals talk about suicide. Some 27% have tried. And they try because they come back to this country and they have to face what they did in Vietnam, and then they come back and find the indifference of a country that doesn't really care.
Jim Wasser, in your recollection, you know, what's your reaction to this statement?
Well, I think it's certainly very true. If you look back on the years and what we've experienced from then till today, and just look at what's happening today with the Republicans, I mean, they're in control and they can't even mandatory fund the VA. So we haven't made a lot of headway as far as I'm concerned, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think that, obviously, you know, what is your gut reaction to these swift boat for BS guys?
Well, actually, I try to call it right now, sir. You're talking to Swift Boat Sailor for the truth, because I served with John. I consider him Swift Boat Sailors for George Bush. I've always tried to stay above the fray, sir, that veterans should never say anything bad about other veterans. I respect their right to their service, absolutely. But they've really taken the gloves off, because even my one dissenting crewmate, Stephen Gardner, is not telling lies about me in the press. And I had to call him a liar, and that hurt. The bad part is I think the majority of the veterans against John Kerry are because of some parts of his Senate speech, and they are being utilized by the Republicans with their agenda to really smear a true American patriot. And John Kerry doesn't consider himself a hero. He considers himself a veteran just like us. And it bothers me to this day. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I am one of John Kerry's band of brothers. I am a unpaid volunteer to that campaign, and I'm very proud of that. And I'm on my last final tour of duty with John. And that's to get him in the White House, sir.
Oh, that sounds great, Jim. We're going to talk to you. I want to talk to you a little bit after this break about what John was like back in the day when you guys were on the boat, if that's all right.
Absolutely. Okay. And I'm here for you guys. Whatever time you need, I'm off work today for this, so you do what you got to do.
Oh, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Jim. We'll be right back with Jim Wasser on Air America Radio.
Hi, Jeff Levy here from the Computer News Show with a great technology tip. You'd love to work from home or while traveling, but everything you need is on your office PC. Here's your solution. Go to My PC. Go to My PC lets you access your office PC from anywhere over the Internet. Simply log on to gotomypc.com, and your desktop instantly appears just as if you were in the office. Work with all your programs and files, check email, and access any network resource remotely. With GoToMyPC, anything you can do at your office PC, you can now do from anywhere. You can try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com, click the Radio Listeners button, and use the promo code AMERICA. That's GoToMyPC.com, Radio Listeners button, promo code AMERICA. Try GoToMyPC.com free today. You'll love it.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order the CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
You can listen and order it today at www.airamericaradio.com. Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records, The Revolution Starts Now.
Revolution starts now.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
All right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with the Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
All right. Everybody knows that safety belts save lives, blah, blah, blah. We've been hearing that for years. I'm just letting you know that your safety belt can save you a whole lot of hassle, too. Because from coast to coast, cops are cracking down. They've got this enforcement effort, click it or ticket. Pretty simple. You buckle up or you get a ticket. Consider this a friendly warning, because guess what? Cops won't be giving warnings. Remember, click it or ticket.
We're on the phone with Jim Wasser, John Kerry's second-in-command on Swiftboat PCF 44. You were also on stage with him at the convention. Now, I want to know, you know, this is a man that you've known for, what, 30 years now?
30 years.
Now, you guys were, like, in your 20s. You're on the boat. You're in Vietnam. Now, what in John Kerry was the commanding officer. Now, what was he like? I mean, you know, these guys were accusing him of being a showboat, of being devious, of being political. But, you know, when I listen to this guy speak on the, in the Senate committee, I hear a very honest, a very, you know, wise guy for his, in wisdom terms, for his years, a guy that's a very capable leader. What were your feelings when you were under his command?
Well, actually, see, I was John Kerry's first boat. We more or less broke him in. I had had three other boats prior. And we had been through plenty, and we were quite seasoned. And The thing I see in John Kerry today is what I saw back then. He listened. He came on board. We never knew who John was or where he came from. Didn't care what color his blood was.
Sure. Right?
He listened to us then like he listens to people now.
Uh-huh.
He molded right in, and that's part of the reason that we're here today. We helped him, and he helped us. John Kerry never made a bad command decision from the time that I was with him. He's a true commander-in-chief. He knows what it's like to be in harm's way and send people in harm's way. That's why we're with him today. We don't have to be, okay? But we're here for a reason to know that we have a chance to put a veteran in the White House that truly cares for all people. He's caring. He's compassionate. He's very courageous. He's a man's man, and he was one hell of a tough commander, and we took it to Charlie, and that was our job, and I'm damn proud of that.
Mm-hmm. Jim Wasser is our guest. He was John Kerry's second-in-command on Swiftboat PCF 44. Jim Wasser, I'm sure you've heard the ad, the first ad that was run by the Swiftboat Veterans for Truth. And I'm curious, the president now has said that he has a problem with all of those kind of ads. He did not condemn the ad itself. Do you think President Bush went far enough in criticizing that ad?
No, because I think when you really have one of your own, John McCain, and I consider John McCain a true patriot and American treasure, is they did their own thing to their own man in 2000 to him. They tried it with Max Cleland, and it succeeded, and I'll be damned if they're going to do it in 2004. And it's just very bad. And I tell people, and I try to be very eloquent about George Bush's service record, but, you know, enough is enough, and there's three things I would like to get out, if I may.
Yeah. Please.
Number one. All of John Kerry's OER and fitness reports are on the Internet. Every officer in every service, Air National Guard included, gets one of those. Number one, we've yet to see that of George W. Bush. Number two, he failed to show up for his flight physical. And number three, and I feel most telling, 35 years ago, we banned the brothers, and there is one dissenting brother, and that's his right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We remember him like yesterday. Wouldn't you think that if somebody served between Texas and Alabama with the present 43rd president of the United States, that a couple guys would have said, man, I knew him. He was a hell of a guy.
Yeah. Well, let me play this for you. We've actually got this new ad by that you might want to hear.
If you want to know about George W. Bush's service to his country, just talk to the men who served with him.
Bush? Yeah, twitchy fella. Kept getting nosebleeds and talking all night.
He's the father of my three children. Possibly.
I served with Bush. We were abducted by aliens and spent four long days being violated by steel probes. I'll never go back to Mexico.
I served with Bush. I mean, I was in the guard at the same time he was. He had a locker. Maybe he was on the late shift.
Had a hook for a hand?
Sure.
Bush was an abortion doctor. Everyone knows that.
This ad is sponsored by the Texas Air National Guard Veterans for Truth.
See that, Jim? Some people are starting to come out.
Oh, okay. But, you know, and it's really sad. And I just got back from Wisconsin with Max Cleland for a couple of days. And you know, there's a lot of veterans for Bush. And I tried to ask them a question, and I think they should, that, you know, if you're really about all veterans and our brothers and sisters of all wars and the new veterans that are going to have the problems they're coming back with, we have a Republican-controlled government now that couldn't even bring mandatory funding out of committee so we can get the $2.6 billion back. And I think they have to ask themselves some questions. Do they really dislike John Kerry that much over his speech to the Senate that they're going to vote for George Bush, who doesn't even have really a true record? Then we had Dick Cheney that had other priorities. Well, you know what, fellas? Over 3.2 million men and women had other priorities. But you know what? By God, they did their job.
Yeah, exactly. And how are the veterans that come out to see Kerry, how are they responding? That must be overwhelming.
Well, you know, we're trying to stay above this, you know, and but really the gloves are off now. I'm trying to remain myself and be eloquent, but it's really tough, but it hurts me because you're now dividing veterans, and this country was built on veterans that have fought in every war for the services and that we have today. And it, and like I say, our crewmates, we're going to keep going right at it because I can tell the truth. I am the truth, and it's easy to speak for John Kerry. And that's why I tell everybody, like I said, we're on our last mission, our last tour of duty, and very emphatically, and I truly mean this, we love John Kerry. We're not here for the notoriety. I could be home every weekend with my family.
Sure. Let me ask you a question,
sure.
Jim Wasser. I see these guys, these other guys, these swift boats for truth guys, and it's like it's very clear to me that several of them are lying because some of them supported Kerry in his Senate campaign. One of them, Hoffman, actually is contradicting his own report. And I don't know where do they get, where is it money? I mean, how are they compromising their conscience like this, and for what reason, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's sad that they are really hurting their own reputations because what they put down in the record, Lieutenant Commander Elliott back then, he gave John Kerry the highest marks out of Anthoy.
Yeah.
Commander Hibbard, Roy Hoffman. See, Roy Hoffman called me 3 weeks after the book Tour of Duty came out and wanted to know why I supported John Kerry, and I told him, all right? But I respect them for their authority, but you know what? They pushed the bubble here, and then you look at John O'Neill. You know his background from his Texas law firm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I went against him on the Linda Vester show about 3 months ago, and I always ask for the last word because when you're the one defending, you always do. And she didn't even know that, and she was a very wonderful host.
Yeah.
But I think they got to really get down where it's at. John O'Neill never even knew John Kerry in Vietnam. He didn't meet him until 71.
Yeah, what did Hoffman say when you responded the way you did?
Well, he really, Admiral Hoffman is upset the way he's portrayed in the book by Douglas Brinkley, and he blames John Kerry. But actually, gentlemen, the people out of Anthoy Division and other officers were the ones that were interviewed about Roy. They called him Latch Hoffman. So, you know, when you have a reputation, you can't have it both ways.
Interesting. Final quick question,
sure.
Jim. What do you think of the media's role in keeping this Swift Boat Veterans ad story and the charges contained in their ads alive this long?
Well, I really don't know that. All I know is there's so many things coming out with the Tribune and William Rood.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, sorry.
The real people and the truth, it's all coming out.
Yeah,
it is the truth. And,
and
it's going to come to the top. But, you know, us guys, we tell anybody, and we're proud of it, if John Kerry called any one of us up today and said that he has one last swift boat mission going into hell, I would be his LPO. He would have a full boat. And there would be ever any consideration of that. I'd like to ask some of those other fellas that are on them ads what their crews thought of them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to demean their service because they served their country very bravely also. But the gloves are off. They're lying. It's not right. And I will not allow them to do that to John Kerry in 2004.
You're a good man, Jim Wasser. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Okay, anytime, sir. Have a good day, gentlemen.
You too. You too. What a great guy.
Wow.
I played that ad for him, and I don't think it kind of registered as funny to him. I felt kind of awkward about that.
But I'll tell you what, he didn't mince any words, that's for sure.
That dude, you know, the respect that he's offering the guys that are going against his guy is a profound testament to a person's humility. I mean, you know, that he can say these guys are wrong, but I'm not going to disregard their service. That's a big man.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of people that John Kerry surrounds himself with. This is the kind of people that are the real noble, you know, warriors, the people that have the ability to reflect and sort of, you know, gain humility from their experience.
Certainly more noble than the guys that are involved with Swift Boat Veterans.
That's for sure. We'll be back after this on Air America Radio.
Have you written a book? Become a published author with Dorrance Publishing Company, the nation's oldest subsidy book publisher. For a free 32-page guidebook on how to have your manuscript published by a reliable subsidy publisher, phone 1-800-695-9599. Dorrance's free, informative guidebook describes the subsidy publishing process and how Dorrance can publish your book in both a traditional format and as an ebook available for download via the Internet. Becoming a published author can be a unique, personally rewarding experience. Receive your free author's guide today by calling 1-800-695-9599. It contains a detailed and straightforward explanation of how Dorrance works with authors who have written manuscripts of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and children's stories. Call 1-800-695-9599 to receive your free author's guide. It's a free call, so dial 1-800, then 695-9599. This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020. Or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
Attention smokers, find out how to get two free cartons of your preferred brand of cigarettes. That's right, the makers of Smoke Free and 3 are so confident you will finally quit smoking that they'll buy your next two cartons for you if you don't quit. Never again will you have smoke-filled clothes, bad breath, or jeopardize the health of your loved ones. Just listen to these
I'm smoking a carton of cigarettes per week as long as I can remember. The very first day I started the Smoke Free and 3 system, I quit.
This is Shelly, and my cravings have decreased. I'm calmer, less irritable, and I've been smoke free for a month now.
This system really surprised me on how effectively and quickly it worked.
Smoke Free and 3 is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of Smoke Free and 3 at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days. Guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next two cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
I can see the runway. Let's take this thing in, Riley.
Yep.
You know, this is Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. It's been a very compelling show. You know, we set out, you know, I talked to Larson last night, and, you know, we set out to sort of explore this thing, you know, to who Kerry was during this 1971 thing. And I want to thank all the vets that have called and everyone we've talked to. If we didn't get to you, we're sorry. It's certainly, you know, exciting for me to talk to you because, you know, I didn't live through this time. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to me after talking to Jim Wasser that, you know, so much of the Swift Boats for Truth guys are, so much about where they're coming from is either personal bitterness or actual sort of, you know, bitterness about how Vietnam was represented in their eyes.
And how vets were treated in the immediate aftermath of the war.
And these guys are the guys that, you know, want to maintain the sort of government-imposed denial that is sort of, you know, part of duty in their eyes, which is, you know, it's sad and it's weird that there's an obstruction like that to truth.
But you know what's different about today, Mark?
Yeah.
We got compelling conversation from both the guest, in this case Jim Wasser, and of course our earlier guest as well, but from callers,
yeah,
from people who are vets themselves, who went through that experience. And what struck me is how remarkably similar Jim Wasser's conversation was to Bob from Las Vegas's conversation.
And just the audacity of this administration, with no war experience of their own to speak of, really, is putting this wedge in between veterans in this country, which is an amazing thing. Jim Wasser said, we got a call from a guy who wasn't a veteran but has an interesting angle, I think. We got Jeff in Florida. We got about a minute, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
First of all, I want to commend you guys for taking the forefront in playing the entire testimony of John Kerry during that era, because, quite frankly, while the Republicans want to view that as a negative, it's a positive.
Yes.
And it should be out there.
Yes.
I want to make a point that I think Kerry honestly played this well by not responding as quickly as he did and letting the Republicans fall into a trap where this will remain an issue.
Yes.
Where George Bush's service to his country is going to continue until November.
Yes.
Because, you know, nobody questions the people. Everybody that went to Yale remembers seeing George Bush. Everybody that went to prep school remembers seeing George Bush.
Yeah.
Nobody that served in the National Guard remembers seeing George Bush.
You're absolutely right. Jeff, we're running out of time.
Last point,
Sorry about that, Jeff.
That was awkward. Jeff, I apologize. He was going to make a last point. Maybe he'll call back tomorrow. I apologize. But we were just running out of time.
We're running out of time, literally. We don't have much.
Yeah.
But his point is well taken.
Yeah, yeah. What he was saying was definitely well taken. I'm sorry, Jeff. There's our liberal agenda. Here are your marching orders for today. I feel very serious right now. I feel that doesn't happen very often. We awkwardly cut a guy off. But anyways, one, criticize Olympic champions. Point out that all that time training could have been spent winning at life, man. Two, establish Kabbalah crisis tent outside Madison Square Garden to counteract bad vibes. Three, liberal dirty trick. Give Republican delegates tickets to Tony and Tina's wedding. On the night of the show, have cast change it to Tony and Tommy's wedding. Yay. Four, throw mixture for abstract expressionists against Bush. Explain to journalists that their all-black protest signs represent war, despair, and reduced funding for the arts. Five, phrase of the day, tell airport security, quote, the most powerful weapon of all is love. End quote. Again, sorry for cutting that guy off. I hate when that happens.
That's all right.
Good time, though. Very informative.
Yeah, very informative.
An emotional show for me.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, Steve Earle, singer, songwriter, and now an Air America host in his own right. The revolution starts now with Steve Earle live in studio on tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Marin.
Yeah, you too, Riley.